Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bilpolian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
So after we take the mug shots, we bring them on down here where they wait to be interviewed by the arresting officer. Trust me, kids, you do not want to be sitting on these benches. We call this place Loserville.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
He's actually kind of funny.
Yeah, he is.
Is he all there? Like, mentally?
I think so. Just an odd guy. Kind of weird.
I mean, should we be worried?
No.
Paul Perillo.
Don't forget your Rogaine.
Rogaine. Check.
And don't forget to use it. I can totally tell when you forget your hair just looks thinner.
Using of the Rogaine. Check.
And Andy. And Andy?
Get the part so close?
Yeah, what's wrong? Shouldn't be here.
Andy Hart.
Why is that? I'm not supposed to be within 200 feet of a school.
What?
Or Chuck E. Cheese.
Eric Scalavino.
You guys might not know this, but I consider myself a bit of a loner. I tend to think of myself as a one-man wolf pack.
For now, anyway.
And 6 months ago, I thought, wait a second, could it be? And now I know for sure. I just added to my wolf pack. Four of us wolves running around the desert together looking for strippers.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Hey, guys, you ready to let the dogs out?
What? Do what?
Let the dogs out.
You know, like, ooh, let the dogs out. Ooh, ooh.
Yes, we are ready to let the dogs out.
Who let the dogs out?
Brett Favre goes back to pass. He pumps. Now he fires over the middle. Intercepted. I can't believe what I'm seeing right now. It was intercepted by Tracy Porter. Near side to the 40. And John Sullivan runs him down at the 47-yard line. You've got to be kidding me. I can't believe what I just saw. Looking at that play, he should have just held on to it, Paul. He should have. He could have easily gotten 5 or 6 yards if he would have just pulled that thing down and dove forward. But why do you even ponder passing? I mean, you can take a knee and try a 56-yard field goal. This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
Oh, no, that was not me saying that either.
Well,
you wouldn't have
been angry.
I was so happy.
You were elated,
as
not
predicted.
Angry.
As predicted, it finally came true.
What?
Months
as
later.
As what was predicted?
Stop.
As predicted.
You're embarrassing yourself.
You're an idiot.
Welcome to PFW in Progress. Brett Favre's official retirement party has started here. Eric Scalavino sitting in Fred Kirsch's chair today because the fat boys, Perillo and Hart, are stuffing their face with lunch. I'm trying to, too, but somebody has to host the show.
You stuff your face with.
See, that's
I retaliate.
Right. That's not.
You know what's cute, Andy?
Right.
When I take a shot, I fire back.
It's cute that he actually thinks definitively, without question, this is now the Brett Favre retirement party.
Right.
Like, there's no chance.
It's wishful thinking, Paul, I'll admit.
No chance.
I'll admit, it's wishful thinking. Doc's behind the booth today. Tacoma's running around somewhere getting yelled at by Andy.
Ooh, that's
he's back there.
Yeah,
Tacoma, I want to know where that role model's open is. I've seen the movie now. Now I want to hear the open again. Can we play that second hour, Doc?
Sure.
You know, the one you refused to play for him. He worked hard on it and forever, and the only time we heard it was when you went on vacation.
It needed to be cleaned up, which hasn't been done yet, but sure.
Oh, well, it's already been played.
That Vikings announcer thought they were in the Super Bowl, too.
Oh, it's about getting to the Super Bowl.
No, I know, but still.
That was an unfortunate turn of events.
That was a great turn of events.
Paul Allen, though, was the guy doing the color there, and that was just...
That was priceless.
Utter classic. That was Fred Kirsch-like right there.
Which is why I was going to say it lacked all professionalism.
Exactly. I mean, that was some true anger. I mean, the play-by-play guy. That's normal. I mean, it's kind of funny. Like, you're excited. You're the play-by-play guy of a team that's on the threshold of being able to go to the Super Bowl, and you lose the chance. Obvious disappointment in your voice. That was just
unbelievable anger.
That was a solid rant.
Right. That's the kind of – see, fans want to know when we're on the road or even here at Gillette. in the press box on game days. A lot of times, you know, we come back on the show the next day and say, oh, you know, Fred was his usual self in the press box.
Yeah.
That's what Fred is like in the press box.
But Fred's not on the air.
No, but I mean, that's what it's like. That's
what it's
like.
You mean when he said, oh, now we're just going to play like a-holes?
Right. Yeah, he just throws his hands up in the air. Right.
You know, my favorite was the 07 season when, you know.
Fred's in a meeting, by the way.
Kind of the last obstacle before, you know, that anybody thought was that Pittsburgh game. Remember, Andy? In the first series, we went 3-and-out in the first series of that game, and on the third down play, they threw a pass to Welker, and it was tightly covered. Maybe it was a penalty. I don't really remember, to be honest with you. Fred almost exploded out of his seat. That's a flag! And he's just like, you couldn't even understand what he was saying. It was like this high pitch that, like, dogs were scrambling everywhere. And me and Andy just looked at each other and said, today's not the day. Today's not the day to poke the bear.
All right, so the Vikings are done. The Saints are going to the Super Bowl for the first time in that franchise's history. You know, guys, we said this yesterday in the office. As bad as these playoffs have been, the championship games were excellent. They lived up to the billing, I thought. The Jets looked like they were going to pull off the upset for three quarters of that game until Peyton Manning just ridiculous. I don't know how else to describe his performance. He completely figured out what the Jets wanted to do to him. Despite all the pressure they got to him, he was amazing in the second half of that game. He made Pierre Garçon and Austin Collie look like all-pro wide receivers.
Yeah, I agree.
We liked Austin Collie coming out in the draft last year.
Yeah, Andy still makes fun of me for it.
But
yeah, you love him.
I mean,
he's a Jag.
He is a Jag, but he was a good Jag.
He was a good one. And he was better than the third Jags we had on this team all year. I would have taken Austin Collie on this team all season long. And would have been a lot more consistent than what we had.
I just like the both games, and even though the Colts ended up winning going away, it was a very compelling game because the Jets did exactly what they had to do to win the game. And that is, you know, hold them to field goals early. You know, don't fall behind. Hold them to field goals.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as Andy likes to put it, win the battle. When it comes down to that spot, who comes away with the win? Well, the Colts got some points, but the Jets got the win. And then they made a couple of big plays, and they were, you know, the problem with New York was they never quite got the running game in gear. The offensive line kind of let them down a little bit. I don't think they protected Sanchez very well at all.
Sanchez had a great game, though.
And they didn't run the ball as well as they usually do. Sean Green leaving the game in the second half, I'm sure hurt them, mm-hmm. but he wasn't really ripping it up before he left either. And I just got to give all the credit to Manning. The guy put on a clinic. He just put on an absolute clinic.
The one complaint I would have about the weekend was overall the officiating. There were some terrible calls in both games. More so in the Minnesota game, I thought, Minnesota-New Orleans game. But there were some bad calls and non-calls in both games. Particularly the one I'm thinking of in the Colts game was the hit that Melvin Bullitt put on Sanchez after Sanchez had handed off and was looking in the opposite direction. No call. Melvin Bullitt came flying in, hit him well after the play. Nothing. And Rex Ryan, they showed a lot of cutaways of him on the sidelines, jumping up and down, irate, yelling at the referees. And rightly so in that case, I thought, because there should have been a flag thrown.
Yeah, I didn't see that particular play, but I have heard about it. And by all accounts, it was a penalty. As bad, you know, just like the pass interference that they called on, I think it was Ben Lieber in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
Just a terrible call. David Thomas, and I, you know, people kept talking about the uncatchable part of it. I don't like that. I don't know if it was catchable or not. What I do know is there was no contact.
Yeah, that was the bad part of it.
That's the bad part.
Whether it was catchable or not, there was no contact made.
So I do agree with Eric. I thought there was some officiating calls. Now, I thought the officiating in general in that game grossly favored Minnesota throughout the game. That particular call ended up costing the Vikings the game, however. I mean, I think that any chance they had of stopping them at that point went out the window. At least they would have had two more shots. I think the Saints would have gone for it. It was a second down play, the interference. I think the Saints would have had were in two down territory there because of what Peyton said. You know, we're on their side of the field. We're not close enough for a field goal. That's why he went for the original fourth down before that.
Right.
We're not close enough for a field goal. We got to get closer here. And I don't think they were willing to just punt the ball away and watch Minnesota, roll down the field for the game-winning field goal and rely on another turnover at that point. But that call was just dreadful. But then a couple of plays later, David Thomas gets torn down as he's trying to make a catch in the flat, and they don't call anything.
Yeah.
Earlier in the game, I thought in the span of three or four plays, there was roughing the passer calls that they got wrong, I thought, on both sides. Andy disagrees. But I think we both agree that the low hit is kind of textbook of what they don't want you to do anymore with the Tom Brady rule. They didn't call that, you know, on Favre. I thought the Hargrove hit was only a pickup throw down because Favre's feet were in the air when he let the ball go, and that's why he was up in the air when he got thrown down. But I just thought there was a lot of questionable calls in that game, and most of them went against New Orleans. There was a lot of third down penalties that went against New Orleans in that game that I thought were really, really ticky-tack.
And what has happened to Adrian Peterson? Is it a mental thing with him now?
He's been a fumbler since he's come out all over the place.
Really. He's done.
Wow.
He has peaked as a pro.
That's crazy, because this is about the time where he should be coming into his prime. If he's peaked.
He's peaked. He's damaged goods.
Oh.
Mental. Strippers
might disagree with you.
No, I'm not sure he would.
Are you engrossed in this Senior Bowl practice, by the way? You haven't really
I'm watching
said
a little
much.
Bit of it. Well, I was letting you guys discuss the weekend before. I wanted to get
well, I like to get
Patriots
your thoughts
news,
on your we got news?
Matt Light, who is one of two Patriots, along with Sean Springs, who's making a tour of ESPN's various audio, video, chat,
broadcast empire,
anything they can today, said on Mike and Mike in the Morning, I believe. Yeah, Mike and Mike's interview, his interview on Mike and Mike in the Morning said the injury he suffered this year was a dislocated kneecap and a little bit of the MCL. So I just thought
a
that
little
was
bit of the MCL.
I don't know what that means. So a slight
is that like
sprain.
Being a little bit pregnant? I mean, if you have a knee injury,
I think he probably had a sprain, you know, a grade.
As opposed to a complete tear?
Right, a low grade sprain. But a dislocated kneecap I found interesting. That's kind of yucky. That's an injury that I don't really.
Well, that explains why he was out as long as he was.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but just a little bit of news out of Bristol.
Yep, and some other
news out of Bristol.
And some other news, Dean Pease, our former defensive coordinator here, rumored originally to be going to the Denver Broncos, then rumored to be going to the Buffalo Bills, winds up where, Paul Perillo?
Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah, the Baltimore Ravens.
Linebackers coach.
Made it official. Yeah, he's the new linebackers coach for Baltimore. A little surprising that that's where he ended up, and that's the position that he ended up with. I was
well, not reading. I mean,
I kind of thought he was going to get out of the NFL.
He coached John Harbaugh, and he coached with Madison. So, had I known that, I would have said that's where he'll land.
But my thinking when he decided to leave here was that he was going to leave the NFL, maybe go back to college, try for something else. I didn't think he was going to stay on the NFL level. That was just.
Well, I would if I were him.
In retrospect, now I think it's clear. I think we all thought the Patriots sort of wanted to go another way. Go in a different direction, but it's also clear to me that Dean Pease at all costs wanted to get out of here too, because he was in the mix or at least been thrown around for other jobs immediately. So that tells me he was looking
right.
And look, we all think that Dean's a good guy. I don't think any of us really thinks he was a top notch defensive coordinator. We wish him well.
And it's obviously a comfortable location for him with his Harbaugh. He's known, I forgot what the number was, like 27 years. Coach with Madison, and Madison's obviously a long-time college coach, so maybe they'll be on the same wavelength in terms of how they treat things, do things. Be interesting to see what he brings to that team.
And the other piece of news, if you want to call it that, is Tom Brady did make an appearance yesterday in the community. We had some people from the Patriots represented there.
Yeah, Brian Lowe was
Brian Lowe from Patriots today and his
our
camera
guy,
crew.
B-Low,
our guy.
I'm not the brightest guy in the world.
No, but you were there, Bilo. Not a whole lot of news came out of it, but Brady did talk a little bit about his injury status, saying that he wasn't going to need to undergo any surgery this offseason, as opposed to last year when he was coming off the injury and had a lot. He said he was just going to be just letting his bumps and bruises heal on their own.
Dr.
It's the
Phil
Richard Seymour
me.
Thing. The same thing we talked to Seymour about last year. There's no strenuous rehab. It'll be about getting ready for the new season.
Right.
Yeah, other than that, no news to report on his contract or anything like that.
Yeah,
it
was brought up, but he didn't really want to.
He did,
get into
I thought,
it.
Interestingly, once again, include his role as the assistant player rep.
He clearly aligned himself with the players.
So I think that's I agree with Andy. I think that's interesting, if nothing else.
It's also not good for the Patriots in terms of getting any sort of a deal on Tom Brady. The more he says, "I'm a player rep. I'm with my brothers."
And by a deal, you don't mean a contract. You just mean a good player.
A deal.
Player,
a hometown, any
kind
of hometown
deal.
Discount. He's getting what he should get as one of the three best quarterbacks in the game, or whatever, mm-hmm. wherever you rank him.
So we got.
Or you run him out of town like Paul wants to.
There we go. Spreading misinformation as usual.
I just feel the need to set the record straight.
Go ahead.
Paul does not want to run Tom Brady.
Well, he actually gets in the way of your desire to run the Wildcat full time. So you got to run him out of town to run the Wildcat all the time.
He's such a loser.
You're not allowed to eat in your role as host, so.
Yes, I am. Fred Kirsch does it all the time.
No, he doesn't. He's always done eating by the time we get here. He's throwing away good food by the time we get here.
That's true.
That's exactly what he's doing.
He's picking the stuff out of a sandwich and chucking things.
So we got a lot to talk about today. We finally have a Super Bowl matchup. I think it's going to be a good one.
And I wish that, you know, I actually thought about doing this yesterday, but I was tied up in a short day because I had to pick up my son. I was going to have Doc pull the audio of Andy Hart. It's never one against one.
Well, I asked Eric yesterday. I go, you think Fred will remember when I went through the rant about it's never one versus one? And
yeah,
he won't. Yeah.
That's no way. No way.
No chance.
Remember. And in Andy's defense, it's the first time, I think, since 93.
Yeah, 16, 17 years.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
So it's been a long time.
So we've got the Super Bowl coming up we can talk about. We've got the, and I want to call it the Amateur Bowl because it doesn't even deserve to be called the Pro Bowl anymore because there are no pros playing in it.
He gets more upset about the stupidest thing.
Oh, Brandon Merriweather gets paid, you know.
Yeah. Well, okay. So technically it should be called the Pro Bowl, but, I mean, there are no pros playing in it, basically. And they're going to be ruining the field that they're going to be playing on. There's a lot of reasons not to like this decision that
Peter King
moved it.
Said that 8 out of the 16 starting quarterbacks in the AFC could call themselves Pro Bowlers.
That's ridiculous.
I thought we were to 7. Where's the 8?
Yeah, evidently there was another one that we didn't know about. So maybe one of those guys that I said should have been asked before.
Kyle Orton, was he on there?
Yeah. He should have been before Gerard, but I don't think he was. I think probably Flacco, because we know he's
maybe.
Hurt.
Yeah.
It's a stupid
But Peter game. King wrote yesterday that 8 out of the 16 quarterbacks could conceivably call themselves Pro Bowlers.
That's insane.
In 2009. That's
so,
a joke.
So we've got the Pro Bowl. We've got the Super Bowl coming up. We've already got the college senior bowls. We had the East-West Shrine Game last week. As I said, Andy and I watching the senior bowl practice on NFL Network behind Paul there on the TV.
If it's behind Paul, how am I going to see it?
No. A lot of free agent stuff that people want to talk about. We got emails about that coming up. Free agency going to be a little bit different this year, as we all know, with the uncapped year, the threat of the uncapped year, barring some last-minute deal.
Yeah, I don't think there's any chance of any last-minute deal.
Much fewer unrestricted free agents,
right.
You know, well, attractive ones anyway, because generally they're in that age group, that 28, 29-year-old guys that are prime candidates to get all the big money deals. Well, those guys, a lot of those guys are going to be restricted now, so... A big change to the offseason landscape.
Yep. Does that help or hurt the Patriots, generally speaking? Given the Mankins, Gostkowski, help or hurt?
I think it hurts a little bit because I think they need some. I think they need an infusion of talent. But I don't think it's a devastation or anything like that. But if you ask me to pick between help and hurt, I would say it hurts a little bit. Just a little bit. You ask me to pick one or the
I'd
other,
go
I
help,
said it hurt. That's because you're generally an optimist.
I am.
Web radio at Patriots.com.
You tend to look at things
this glass right
from a Patriots-centric point of view. I
Son
understand
of a bitch,
that.
It's empty. It's going to get me more Diet Coke.
Web radio at Patriots.com is the email address to chime in on this show, 508-543-7482, the phone number. We are going to get this show to Sam in Chicago's MP3, which she sent a couple of weeks ago.
She's hot.
And Fred has failed to play. So, Sam, be patient. We're going to play it today on this show because Fred's not here to ignore you.
And then after it finishes, I'll declare whether it moved or not.
I'm going to predict that it will move.
Eric, please stop talking about me moving. It's okay when I say it, but now it's just weird when you talk about it.
We also have lunch today.
We boom together on the road.
We also have lunch today provided by...
Another drunk.
Adrian in County Kildare, Ireland. So we're going to read his email now.
Greetings. I dare you to kill.
Yeah, I dare you. I will kill you. Greetings, Fred, Paul,
that's
Andy,
on the record.
Eric,
that's
and
a threat. If I wind up dead, somebody come looking for him as at least the first of 100 suspects.
Yeah, exactly. There's going to be a long line behind them.
And everybody else in Ireland.
Exactly.
I think I'd be pretty much the only one off because I've come to grips with you.
I agree.
I think I'm off that list,
I think
too.
Even my wife is on the fence. Because there's a fine line between love and hate.
Yeah, I wouldn't be a candidate. I wouldn't be a suspect.
I think Jackson's safe. I don't think Sydney... borderline at this point.
Well, because the names you call her.
What?
No, it's no wonder.
Rhymes with Rich?
Yeah.
It looks like a duck and walks like a duck. Terrell Owens told me to call it a duck.
All right, taking advice from him now, are you?
He's been relatively successful.
All right.
It's my quarterback.
Adrian says, hope your lunch reached you and is going down well.
It went down better than...
Ba-dum-bum.
Nah. Well, you were the ba-dum-bum I was going with. So.
I had one, but I said, nah, I can't do it. I'll get mad.
I figured with the end to our season, it was good time to get you guys lunch to say thanks for guiding us all through another season of Patriots football. Obviously, I'm very disappointed with the end of our season, but I still remain confident that we are... That I screwed up here. Confident that
all your show prep and you weren't ready for this.
No, because there are misspellings all over the place here. Confident that we are not a spent force as some folks would portray us, Eric. I feel if we draft well and don't trade down all our picks, we are still a contender. Another year under our belts for the likes of Mayo, Merriweather, Chung, Edelman can only be a good thing, right? Anyways, just wanted to go off point for a moment here. And come back to something which you guys have discussed around the time of the London game, the possibility of a franchise in London and or Europe. Just wanted to give you an Irish take on this.
Which is to say a drunk take.
Myself and a group of guys get together each Sunday evening.
And drink.
Brilliant.
From 6 p.m. until 3 a.m.
And drink.
And watch three NFL games.
Brilliant.
While drinking.
All right.
It's a regular Sunday tradition. Your boss must hate that on Monday morning. But
you think he goes to work Monday morning? You're out of your mind.
Brilliant!
And many NFL franchises are represented in our support, from Colts to Patriots, Falcons, Bears, etc. We're 100% unanimous in our disagreement with this idea, though. What makes the NFL special is that it's not on our doorstep. We can't go to games each week, and weird as that may sound, that's the way we like it. We have the option to attend one game in Wembley for 3 years now, and that's great. Let's take the Jaguars, for example. If there were, hypothetically, to relocate to London, the novelty would wear off after 3 or 4 weeks, and they'd have smaller crowds than what they're experiencing in Jacksonville right now. Also, you'd have every Tom, Dick, and Harry suddenly thinking they're an NFL expert overnight. We have a good-sized NFL community here, and we want to keep it that way. To be honest, I couldn't see myself rushing to London every few weeks to check out the Jaguars, who are losing. So that's just my feeling on it. It has the potential to be an absolute disaster. Move them to L.A. or Toronto if need be, but not to London. And don't get me started on the logistics of the move. All right. We've got a lot of emails to get through. Enjoy the lunch. That's Adrian in County Kildare, Ireland.
Thank you, Adrian.
Yes, thank you
for
lunch
NFL
today.
International is kind of killjoy.
Excellent lunch.
It
excellent.
Is.
From but
Pizzeria
I kind
Grande.
Of agree with it.
I sort of agree with it, too. And that's kind of the – didn't you think that was the sense of the more people that we talked to when we were over there?
Yeah, and
I don't
know.
Want to say everybody. I'm not painting with a broad brush.
It might work with more localized people, but you certainly would lose out the people that travel to London to see a special event game. So
and
who knows?
And some news this week from the NFL. They were planning to have a second game in London this year. Earlier, about a week or two ago, it was confirmed that the – Niners were going to host the Broncos in London on Halloween this year, and that they were trying to work out the logistics for a second game. The league has decided now not to do that this year, but that they still remain committed to adding additional games in London and throughout the UK.
So they'll only
have
one game again this year.
That's in future
topic
years.
I
but
discussed they, on BBC when I was on.
Just
now, did you talk?
Scraping old wounds.
You weren't on.
That's what you do, you scab picker.
And if anybody else was on, Andy, you know, it was going to be me.
Yeah.
Just that we got cut off time-wise.
Right. You, okay. Never,
the logistics.
You never
you would
were.
Never
I wasn't
asked.
There. I wasn't
you were never
there.
Even in the equation.
Because I wasn't there. I was
she was a
good-looking
blonde. She saw Paul and Andy, and she said, we got to get these guys on TV.
Oh, boy.
She made it move.
She did. The accent, you know, helps make it move.
So anyway, the league said that because of the uncertainty of the uncapped year and the labor and all that, they said one game in London is tough enough to coordinate. Having a second one with all that's going on right now just isn't going
to. Oh, that's
it.
Hard to do.
So eight would be simple. All
right, get rid of that.
It could affect the season late.
It's better as a dream than it is as a reality.
What was that?
That's
is that your
the
thing on the BBC?
From, well, not my thing. That was me on the BBC. I joined my thing.
Oh,
on the
boy. I'm not on.
But I do like the theory involved with Adrian's email that, you know, it's something special now. It's a treat, and it would lose its certainly if if the Jags go there and suck, then it really
But that's a cyclical thing because you mean eventually you would get a good team there.
Maybe,
but even if you put the best team over there,
no, but I don't
know
if you'd eventually
element.
Get a good team. I think they would have some things working against them. So if they were bad, it'd be harder to get.
But
good.
Let's just say, for argument's sake, you're putting over the Patriots. and the Patriots are the most popular team in the UK. I don't know if that's the case, but let's just say they are. I still think there's an element of what Adrian's talking about, that
but don't
novelty
you think any
is going
team that's
to wear
there
off.
Will be, it'll be more difficult to win.
Yes.
Both on and off the field.
Yes, I do.
Because, for example, use the Patriots scenario. I think in 2007, if Bill Belichick calls Randy Moss and says, we want to trade for you, he goes, I ain't going to London.
No.
So, I mean, that
I totally agree
small
with you.
Factors, I think, make it harder to either dig out of the hole or, if you happen to get good, to stay good.
I agree with you. I'm trying to play like the land of Maple Leaf here. You have a good team over there. I still think Adrian and, James, when we talked to him over there, Paul, all our
James
buddies.
James Wales.
Yeah, all our buddies that we talked to, a lot of them expressed the same sentiment that Adrian just wrote about.
Right, right.
It's a great thing. We love it.
There's a novelty to it right now.
We go to the game.
Keep it that way.
Right. But it would wear off if we had, we don't necessarily want one team to root for. We like rooting for the entity, the league.
Mm-hmm.
And we all have our individual teams. I mean,
I also like how he said there's kind of a snobbiness to it, that they enjoy getting together and being a small group, not everybody on the street rooting for an NFL team and knowing everything about the game.
That's pretty impressive. 6 p.m. to 3
in
the morning.
Not at all dissimilar, Andy.
Wow.
To the Northeastern Huskies for me.
Very dissimilar. I think there's probably
the novelty of it. It's a small, passionate
90,000 group.
Well, I was going to say there's novelty.
It's a small, passionate group. See, he gets together with just a small group of guys. He has a great time. He doesn't
they
want to
drink.
Make that
you don't drink.
Well, of course I do in Richmond.
So once? They drink every day.
Unbelievable.
Well, the offseason.
This is why we don't have our own show, by the way, right here.
Why?
Because you're just your lack of sensitivity is costing
to
us
who?
Jobs.
Really?
Just to who?
The Irish. They're my peeps.
Pick the group.
I actually have a question for our Irish.
No
listeners.
Disrespect.
And I don't know if I'll be able to get any response on this now or
I'm
down
sure
the road. I don't know if you guys have followed the South Hadley girl who committed suicide.
I saw that story today.
Who was from Ireland.
Yes. That was one of the worst stories I've
brought
heard
back there to
lately.
Be buried.
Well, unfortunately, you hear that a story like that once a month.
I'm wondering if that's having any newsworthiness over in Ireland, if they're reading about that or hearing about that.
Real quick synopsis. I think she was a 15-year-old girl.
Won't be quick.
15-year-old girl from Ireland.
And it'll have a lot of words that people don't understand.
Started with synopsis.
If you two would shut up, maybe we could get the synopsis over with, a-holes. 15-year-old,
I understood that word.
15-year-old girl from Ireland moved to Massachusetts. I'm not sure exactly what the circumstances were, but she was a freshman at South Hadley High School. I guess had a boyfriend who was a senior football player.
Correct.
And some of the mean girls, who were the popular, attractive sports-playing girls, didn't like the fact that this young girl was sort of infringing on their turf, and they started treating her badly, calling her names. And it got so bad for the poor girl that one day she walked home, went right to her room, and hanged herself in her closet. Her 12-year-old sister found her there. And that's not where the story ends, because then the mean girls continued to brag about what happened.
They
were happy
about
it.
That's where they should be
shocked. Bragging about it.
A lot of it was on the social networking stuff that, the Facebook and Twitter and things like that. They kept on doing it.
Right.
And they were very proud of it.
They should be killed.
And I agree. These girls, nothing.
Anybody can bully.
Nothing has
Bully's
happened
been
to
around
these girls.
For millions of years.
Right.
But to be a bully who, once she kills herself, to continue the bullying,
to be happy, to be happy about it, to
yep,
be
you're
that's evil.
Evil. You should die.
It's almost like they feel like they accomplished their goal.
Right.
Right.
It's unbelievable.
Which is why they should go to jail. Because their goal was
and
her
suppose,
death.
I suppose
that's, called murder.
That's what makes this story a little bit different.
Can you charge them with murder? The way you
well,
just put
what,
that. They accomplished
well,
their goal. And if their goal was to kill her, to me, that's murder.
Yeah, they're trying, I guess, to figure out ways to do to prosecute in some way, but it's very hard to find a specific law that was broken.
In the meantime, though, these girls are continuing
like
to go to school.
It's like my unnecessary roughness. Throw the flag. You killed somebody.
I know
you're a
murder
bad person.
When I see
go to jail.
Yeah, there's nothing. No, there have been no repercussions for these girls so far. They're still going to school. There's been no reprimands of any kind. They're basically flaunting
murder.
What they did.
And, just to add to Eric's. One element of this, it obviously drew a lot of media attention in that area, and I guess a TV crew was in the school interviewing students and whatnot, talking about them, and one girl actually was talking about this other group of mean girls, and that's what I know that's the movie, but that's what they go,
that's what
they're kind of calling them. And basically said everything that was, you know, was happening. Yeah, they're going on Facebook and they're writing this stuff, and this is what they did. They bullied this girl. Well, when the crews went away, evidently a group of these girls took the student that was being interviewed, pushed her up against the locker and punched her in the face.
Yeah.
So that's what you're dealing with.
And so then I guess the Irish girl who died was supposedly had a trip planned to go back to Ireland to go visit her dad, who still lived over there.
Right.
And according to the story, obviously, you know, they sent
the
her body back.
Box.
Yeah. And it's just a horrible, horrible story. I mean,
and the father, I guess, said that they're going to have her buried in Ireland. So there's an ocean between her and those miserable people.
So, I wonder how much play that's getting in the media on the other side.
Let us know.
That's just so horrible. I mean,
just got one email saying that they hadn't heard anything about it until just now.
It's what we do. Well, we connect people worldwide.
I mean, I remember.
Even now?
What? That's what we do. It's a little bit of our home we brought to them.
I don't know. I mean, we all have dealt with bullies in the past. But
well, you and I are on opposite ends of that spectrum.
Some deal with that on the show currently.
The reason you are the way you are, Andy, is because of bullies. Because you were the fat little kid that everybody made fun of, and it scarred you psychologically for life.
I think
and now you lash out.
Something to be said for that, but I was never truly bullied.
Yeah, you know,
because you were too fat and people were afraid to come after you.
Yeah, I was never on either side, honest to God. And not that I.
That clip ran longer than I expected it to.
That's why it was funny.
Certainly never bullied anyone, but I was never bullied either.
Well, you had some protection, didn't you? You had an older brother who looked out for you.
I did, but
he also had a gun in his pocket.
but I had very little in the way. I mean, I'm not saying like individual. You know, fights or arguments or, you know, older guys giving, you know, hard. But I'm talking about, you know, a consistent bullying where you're walking home from school and the same kid is meets you, comes out from around the corner and he's harassing you.
And you're making decisions based upon what you expect to be bullied. Yeah, I never was. No.
Yeah, and as you all know my story, that happened to me for a while. I put an end to it.
Right.
Picture the crap out of the kid,
but it makes you wonder,
into the hospital.
It makes you wonder why it took you so long to do that, though. Why did you just open up the can on him long before that?
Because I have a genuine heart. I like to give people a chance.
Oh, stop it.
You were scared.
Someday you just decided.
You lost it
because
there was nothing to lose anymore. It was so miserable dealing with it.
There might have been an element to that, too.
Right. Tell me the, and I don't care what the kid was like.
What's the kid's name?
Tell me, honest to God.
I don't want to do that.
Oh, come on.
No, I don't blame him.
Living hell for years.
I made his life a living hell after that.
It would be his. Yeah, it would be his.
The rest
just
of the school.
Luck.
Give me the initials.
The rest of the school
initials.
Shunned
him. No,
I won't.
It would be his luck. That
exactly.
That kid's a Patriots fan.
Give me the initials.
Well, it's entirely possible because he's from Massachusetts
and he's listening. Is my point.
Could be.
What's his initials? No name.
Although
just initials.
Although if that were true, he's certainly figured out who we're talking about.
Probably. Yeah.
If your real name is Eric Scalavino,
it is.
Maybe you've changed your name.
No, I haven't.
But tell the truth.
Protect yourself.
Like in the immediate aftermath of the whooping that you gave this guy,
mm-hmm.
You surprised yourself, didn't you?
A little bit, yeah.
Because, I mean, let's face it. Otherwise, you would have put an end to that long before that.
But he couldn't have because part of the reason he surprised himself is because he reached the breaking point. It's like that strength when the mother lifts up the car. She couldn't normally do it.
Well,
a normal day, if you just decided, okay, I'm going to do it as a rational thought,
you wouldn't have had the same
intensity.
Yeah, you're right.
It was an explosion.
The other thing, too, was that.
What are we talking about?
No, but you're right.
Explosion of will.
No, I just
heart.
How do
kinda
we
like
so far off track so quickly?
That's what we do on this show. But
it is the off season. We don't have a tremendous amount of news. We do have the conference championship.
We do have a lot of emails.
We have the conference championship games we can talk about, but we have 2 weeks.
Yeah,
you know,
we got a long
three
time
more
to talk
shows
about.
After this to talk about the Super Bowl.
Just had a Fred moment there.
No, well, I was going to say the Super Bowl, but then I wanted to say the Super Bowl, as they say on EEI.
We have Soup Bowls in here.
Did you ever notice
Super Bowl? No.
Fred Smurl has called it Soup Bowl.
He can't speak. He says we need to get Peppers as our defensive coordinator. I don't know whether he means Julius Peppers or Pepper Johnson.
No longer with the EEI, so you shouldn't play that.
Initials? Come on, just give me the initials, and I'll move on.
A.L.
Andrew
Al Lerner.
Al Lerner.
No, I didn't beat up Al Lerner. He was,
Al LaBelle.
He was much older than I was. But that was the other thing,
Andy
too.
Andy Levine.
When I went away to school.
First name Andy? Andrew. That'd be ironic if it was Andrew.
It was, actually.
Wow. Andrew Lang.
No,
Andrew
not Lang.
Lart.
I was always a year younger than everybody in my class because I started school.
Because you were bright?
Kind of. I started school a year early.
When did you stop being bright?
So I was 13 years old as a freshman, and a lot of the other kids in that school
started dating a senior football player.
No. No.
I just cracked myself up with that.
But anyway, a lot
of me up with it too, and you never crack me up.
A lot of the kids in that school go there a year later, so they start as 15-year-old freshmen. A lot of them, because usually they'll go to high school for a year first and then start prep school.
Why?
That's just the way prep schools works. A lot of them. Some of the kids like to do that. They like to be a little bit more mature when they get there. And so this kid was a grade ahead of me, but was actually about 3 years older than I was at the time. So that was the other reason that I, like Paul said, that you surprise yourself a little bit, because at that age, 3 years is a big right. difference as far as
and know, even if it isn't, you perceive it to be
exactly. And plus, I didn't know how everyone else was going to react if I was going to get
this
all these
like
older
a 15,
kids.
15, 18 thing.
I was 13. 13 he 16. Was 16.
Oh, yeah, I would have. I'm impressed with you now.
And then you kicked Andrew Lofton's ass.
Andrew Levitre.
That would have really been impressive because he ended up becoming an NFL guard.
And but you are still
not
a teeny little bit of a woman. Go ahead, read emails. Yeah. We got a lot of emails. Right. Let's move on.
So, it's the, like you said, it's the off season now. We have resumed our Debate Friday polls on Friday. And the last one we did was, who should you root for? As a Patriots fan, who should you root for in the AFC Championship game?
You notice every time he actually comes out on the high end, the winning end of these debates, he talks about it. That's why you don't hear him talking about
it. I was trying to segue into an email, actually, Paul. But last week's was 55-45. You, the fans, picked the Jets over the Colts as the team you should root for, not necessarily who was going to win.
And much like Wild Card Weekend, the team you were rooting for lost.
We were rooting for lost. But now the Jets season is over. And one of the players who might be on the free agent market this year is Kerry Rhodes. And that leads us to Theo in Jersey's question. Hey, guys, I was reading on Pro Football Talk this morning about the Jets possibly losing some players, more specifically Kerry Rhodes. Would you be interested in bringing in the here's where you're going to have an issue, Andy. The all-pro safety for some veteran leadership that this team seems to be lacking. I don't remember Kerry Rhodes ever being an all-pro.
No, I don't either.
But
Andy
and I were just talking about the pet peeve he has with people calling pro bowlers all-pros when they're not all-pros, when they're just pro bowlers.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't remember if Kerry Rhodes might have been an all-pro at one point. But
no. Maybe, but I doubt it.
I don't remember that being
the
case.
Pro Bowl.
He might have been a pro. Yeah,
now the bottom
bowler,
line is he fell out of favor in New York. And the other end of that spectrum is, well, where does he fit here?
Right. You drafted a safety. You drafted two safeties
upgrade,
in the last 3 years.
Who's out? Are you cutting Sanders?
Jimmy
are you
Sanders,
cutting
that's
McGowan?
Your boy.
Yeah, that's a good idea. That worked well for you in the middle of the year, keeping James Sanders off your defense. That really played out nicely.
I think Kerry Rhodes is a decent player.
I
used to think a lot of him as a player. I thought he was a very, very good player. I don't think he's played as well the last couple of years, the last couple of times I've seen him.
I'm going to ask you a question, Paul, philosophically speaking.
Go ahead.
Is safety one of the harder positions to play? Do we grade too high? Is it a difficult position to be consistently good at?
I don't know why that would be any tougher to be consistently good at that spot than another.
Well, why do we see so many players that seem to kind of be hot and cold there? Eugene Wilson, hot and cold. You know, Pro Bowl potential to almost out of the league. Kerry Rhodes, Pro Bowler to benching. All these top draft picks who don't make it in the NFL and don't live up to the hype.
By the way, Kerry Rhodes will be a restricted free agent, right, if he's available? Because he'll only be 5 years.
Then, yes, he'll be a restricted free agent.
I'll check the list for you, Paul.
I'm just looking at his career stats. 05, 6, 7, 8, now 9. So only has 5 accrued seasons.
Yep. He'll be an RFA.
So if he becomes available, then he'll be an RFA.
I just don't see the need, the bang for your buck, I'm not.
And I like Kerry Rhodes. I think that he's the kind of guy that can do a lot of things. Now, what I would
he's
wonder.
Actually not listed on our free agent list.
Well, because I think he's property of the Jets, that who's going to get his contract terminated.
He had a longer contract, I believe.
I'm not sure on that.
But what is he? To me, he's Brandon Merriweather.
I think he's better than Brandon Merriweather. I think that Merriweather's probably more active in pass coverage, whereas Rhodes is more active around the line of scrimmage.
I would agree with that.
But I think
make a play, give up a play. Same two guys.
overall skill set, though, I think Kerry Rhodes has the edge.
Rhodes had that 1 year in 06 where he had 5 sacks and 4 picks. That was a pretty good that's a pretty good season for a safety. But he hasn't done much of that since. He only has 9 sacks and 12 interceptions career, not counting this year's stats, whatever he had. But we know he lost his job this
Using
year.
Our old rule of who do the Patriots praise, they have praised him in the past. I know Brady and Belichick have talked about
that year he made huge plays against the
Patriots.
No,
I know, but they've continued to praise him beyond that year, and I don't know if it's strictly based on that thinking of that year, but you know, using our old logic, Wes Welker, Roosevelt Colvin, Fred Taylor, if they, you know, are effusive with their praise of a guy, sometimes he ends up on their team.
Yep.
It would make sense. I just, again, with Patrick Chung, James Sanders, Brandon McGowan, and Brandon Merriweather, something would be out.
Yeah.
And I guess you could just say, okay, McGowan's out or Sanders is out. I just don't know.
Make for a healthy competition.
He was a second-team All-Pro in 06, by the way.
Second-team All-Pro.
First team all pros are all pros in my mind.
I think so, too.
Other than that, you're not an all pro.
Webradio@patriots.com is the email. 508.
Logan Mankin's not an all pro?
No. 543-7482, the phone number.
Wasn't he second team this year?
If these guys will shut up, on the phone is Big Al. Big Al, you still on the phone?
Oh, how are you?
How's it going,
Al?
Just to update that, he did sign an extension before the 08 season. Just doesn't say how long.
Okay.
So clearly he's still under contract because he had to have signed more than a 2-year extension. That'll be all for Kerry.
All right, Kerry.
What's up, Al?
Hey, listen, does everybody realize that this is the third straight season with three different teams that Brett Favre has closed the season with an interception that basically ended the year mm-hmm. for his ball club?
Yeah, that's why he's Favre.
I know he didn't actually – I'm just wondering, just for the continuity purpose, he didn't actually throw a pick on the last play for the Jets, did he?
I don't believe so, no.
That's too
bad. Well, it was the last drive they had.
No, I know. Your point's still there. Yeah. I just was wondering if you could actually specifically say the last pass of three seasons in a row was a pick, because I know that he did it in the NFC Championship game both times.
Right.
The last pass he threw was a pick.
Understood. I mean, it wasn't the last play of the game, I guess, technically speaking. I mean, obviously the game went into overtime. It didn't really. But his last pass of any import, to put it that way, in those three straight games for three different teams has been an interception. I just think a lot of athletes really worry about, you know, the last thing they did, you know. And I just think he's going to come back again next year because of the last thing he did this year, like the last 2 years.
But
and
you know what, Al?
I just don't think he has to worry about that. The guy's a Hall of Famer.
Well, that's the thing. I think he's ruining it for himself. The more he comes back, the more he's gonna have the possibility that he's gonna end not making the playoffs or having a losing season or just, you know, it's wouldn't you rather remember him for being the good player that he was than the old washed up guy who didn't know when to quit guy that he is now?
But just, it is. I mean, I don't think this is going in the Willie Mays route yet, but, you know, who knows?
To play devil's advocate for him, though, guys, it's kind of hard to make that statement on this season where he might look at it and say, geez, I went out and had statistically one of the best years of my career.
Absolutely.
Why can't I do that again next year?
Because sooner or later you're not. Now, that's where Eric is getting older. Sooner or later you're going to throw 35 picks.
I said playing devil's advocate. Now, I personally think this is it for him because I think he emotionally invested it all.
Yep.
I think he was a beaten man when that game was over on Sunday. I wouldn't take anything that's said between now and, say, June with any seriousness.
I was going to say, yeah.
At all.
Training camp.
I agree.
Now,
I agree.
I think we won't know for sure what he's going to do, you know, probably all the way to mid to late August. But I wouldn't take absolute. I mean, he said to Ed Werder the other night, more than likely I've played my last game or something along those lines. I wouldn't take any of that with anything. I mean, any stroke of seriousness.
And which outlet was it that had the developing story?
ESPN yesterday had developing story.
I mean, come on. It's ridiculous.
Well,
they're not going to be
true.
Doing
it's
this
been
for
developing
eight
for 5 years, so it is developing. I think you can't count on him not playing until the end of next season. Because I think he's a guy that would answer the phone in December. If some team had an injury and calls, I don't think he would pull the Teddy Bruschi and say, I've accomplished all I can, I'm happy with my career. He will answer the phone.
All right, looking ahead to the Super Bowl, guys, I'm really kind of split on this one. As much as I follow the Patriots for years and years and years and decades and years, I've only had season tickets.
That's a long time, Al.
That is a long time. I've only had season tickets to one professional sports team. And that team was The New Orleans Saints. 1979 season ticket holder.
Well, that must have been a great year to have those. Were you wearing a paper bag?
No, I was not. This is just before the Aints. The Aints year was like a year or two later. This was actually, they went 8-8 in that year for the first time they had a 500 record ever.
Wes Chandler,
Chuck Muncy, Tony Galbraith.
Yeah, that was a good
team.
And, of course,
Archie Manning.
That was a fun team to watch.
I like stories.
I've been kind of a fan of Manning.
Why is it that you refuse to recognize anything that happened that you don't know about?
I'm representing the youth movement. Go ahead, guys.
The Manning's going to be 33 this year. He's representing the youth movement.
I kind of had a soft spot for the Mannings ever since. And this is kind of like a Manning divide here. You've got the Saints and the kid on the other side. And so, I mean, I suppose Archie would have to pull for his kid, but
yeah. You think?
At the same time, he does the Saints game. So
that's what he already said he was doing.
Oh, God, that's not – I can't believe anybody would even ask.
But for you, Al, I think you have to pull for the Saints.
You know, for me, if I had – my NFC team has always been the Saints.
Right.
And, you know, that would be tough if the Saints ever played the Pats in the Super Bowl. I think I would still pull for the Pats, obviously. But, yeah, I was kind of happy to see the Saints make it in there. And I did have the season tickets. They were in the first row of one end zone, right behind the end zone, or right behind the one, I think it was a south end zone. And
so you didn't
two
see
tickets,
much.
Me and a buddy of mine went, and they were $50 for the season.
Wow.
Wow.
$50 for the season.
That'll get you a good parking spot over here in Foxborough nowadays.
I'm serious. So, you know, I guess nostalgia, sure, I'll pull for the Saints. Probably not going to win. If I was betting the game, which, as I told you last week, I don't bet football except very, very rarely.
Except when Monty Beisel's involved.
Except when I see Monty Beisel in the starting lineup.
I have the Monty Beisel exception, yes. If he were playing in this game, I'd make a bet. But since he's not, I'm just going to try to enjoy the game. And I guess, yeah, sure, I'll pull for the Saints. But it won't kill me if I do like the Mannings and really all of them. And so it isn't going to bother me if Peyton Manning gets his second ring. But I want to ask one more question. Well, one thing we've seen in the playoffs, guys, is we've seen an awful lot of kickers miss an awful lot of kicks.
Yeah, you're right.
And now I know Steven is a restricted free agent as opposed to an unrestricted, but do you think there'll be any kind of an issue with him coming back next year?
No.
You think he's coming back?
I think I wouldn't be surprised if a team or two makes an offer for him, but I think he's going to wind up back here.
Yeah, see, the thing, I agree with Andy. I look at it as even if someone were to make him an offer, how big is the offer going to be for a kicker?
Right.
That would, you know, kind of preclude you from matching it, you know?
And is the team going to go through the trouble of putting together an offer? I mean, because they have to have the draft pick compensation. If they do or don't, then that would hold up that draft pick compensation for any other guys they might want to get. And I know, you know, looking at it for the Chargers, if they could get a great kicker, well, they thought they had a great kicker until he wasn't great.
He's a Pro Bowler.
And there's going to be a lot more free agent offers, as we've talked about on the show the last couple of weeks, because there's so many more restricted free agents.
Right.
There's going to be a lot more offer sheets made.
But that's my point.
That takes a lot of time.
Right. If you're a team and you want to make – if you're going to dive into
the guys you
market, are you going to go get a corner or are you going to go get a kicker? I don't know how many teams would target the kicker.
Okay. Well, fair enough. I'm fairly optimistic because I do like Steve. I think he's been very solid.
He's a good, solid kicker.
Absolutely. And so I don't think we could do better than him, certainly not for a while. So I do hope that we can hang on to him. And it sounds like, based on what you're telling me, that there's every chance.
I think he'll be back.
That's our feeling anyway.
Yeah. We think
all right, fellas. Hey, listen, have a great one. Enjoy the Super Bowl.
You too, Big
Al.
Al.
Yeah.
All right.
Talk to you later.
Al sounded different.
Al always sounds like he's on the radio.
I think he has a little illness going on.
Well, when he calls here, he is on the radio. And that's the only
not
time he
really
talks to him.
I mean professionally.
I know. I'm just teasing you, Paul.
Yeah, and I'm just making fun of you.
TG in Jersey writes in, subject line, bullies? Really? Jeez. When I heard that Fred was out for the day, I thought, good, maybe they'll talk more football today. Less tangents and pointless arguments.
It was short.
Then Squidward's opens his closet with the bullying story. Ah, well, maybe Thursday will be better. Anyway, guys.
I doubt it.
The NFC game brought up the whole overtime argument again. What is the official PFW solution to overtime? TG in Jersey.
Mine is as is.
I would tend to agree with Andy. I think it's okay as is.
I'm okay with it.
Now, I think the only solution that I would be happy with is if they just decided to play another whole quarter. I don't like the whole both sides get the ball.
Starting at a certain point, like in college.
Definitely against that. Yeah. I think that's way wrong. I think it's fine in college.
That's the wrongest.
Yeah. I think that's fine for college or high school, and I know they do that at those levels, but I think for a professional game, you need to play it like real football.
And I think,
I'm not in favor of eliminating field goals because all those things change the game too much. But if you play another whole quarter, now...
Well, that's a long time, but I think if you played 7 minutes, five to seven minutes,
something
like that.
7 minutes is one drive, and right. I think you have the same problem that you have.
Well, but at least there's a chance that you can get two drives in. You can get one drive for each team.
But if you go three and out, yeah. But, I mean, if a team is going to move the ball and get points, they're going to take at least 5.5, 6 minutes. Now, I'm considering you're going to be calling timeouts if you're on defense and you need to get the ball back and stuff.
What if you did running time in that overtime
Again,
period?
Why do we have to change the rules of the game? Why can't we just play a quarter?
Because it's an argument to be made. It's a suggestion. You want to change something, you have to throw ideas out there.
Want to change it.
But some people do.
I let off
obviously.
With I don't really want to change it.
The only one I'm even open to is, I guess, the matching possessions, is you guarantee both teams one possession. But I don't see how that one either.
And I've heard that a lot. And a lot of people like that. I don't see how that solves the problem. Because now that still the team that got the ball first, okay, let's say you score a touchdown, then the other team gets the ball and scores a touchdown. Now, doesn't that team get the advantage again anyway?
Oh, yeah. Well, I hear everybody saying it's got to be fair. It's not fair. I mean, it isn't. That's just the way it works.
Andy, what's your thought on that?
Life's not fair.
No, but I heard someone saying, there was a night, because this was a big topic yesterday on WEEI, Sports Radio in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
And one guy said, give the home team the ball first in overtime to take away the coin toss. And I'm like, well, we have a coin toss to start the game. Why can't we have a coin toss to start?
And if anything, wouldn't you give the visiting team?
Yeah. So I really don't understand any of that.
The one suggestion I heard yesterday that really got me, I don't know where they come up with this stuff, and I guess Pro Football Talk was sort of espousing it a little bit too, is some sort of statistical thing where – whoever had the most total yards or the most first downs or the most time of possession, some kind of statistical thing from the game gets to have the ball first. Look at that game on Sunday.
About the numbers.
The Saints kept getting the ball at the 30-yard line and going in to score. Obviously, it takes less time to do that than it does to go 80 yards to score. So the Saints didn't have a time of possession, but it was 28-28.
What's wrong with coin tosses? They've been used in sports for like forever.
Florio's big thing with that is you have 9 or 10 tiebreakers to pick the different playoff teams, and coin toss is the last one.
Right.
But yet, something as important as possession in overtime,
You're comparing teams over a 16-game season.
Andy. I don't have a problem with the way overtime works. I do recognize the fact that you win the toss in overtime, and that greatly enhances your chances to win. But I don't think it's unfair.
But
I think that's the way it
out.
Is.
They lost because Brett Favre didn't take advantage of his chance to win. He could have won the game before we got to overtime. So, sorry.
And I also disagreed, and I heard a little bit of what they were talking about on EEI. They were saying how if it just continued and the other team wasn't a coin toss, you couldn't – let's say you were playing for ties. They were saying, why don't you be ties – in the regular season, just eliminate overtime altogether, and in the playoffs, you just play a whole quarter.
Until somebody wins.
So they're saying the regular season, that would eliminate teams playing for overtime. First of all, why? Because the only time you would ever play for overtime, which I don't see this as being an epidemic in the regular season. I don't know how you guys feel. I don't see too many teams, quote-unquote, playing for overtime. But the only time I would ever see it is if there were, say, less than 30 seconds left or less than 40 seconds left, and you're backed up inside your 20, you might sit there and say, I'm going to make sure that I don't do anything to lose this game in regulation.
Yeah,
right.
You set up, and
that would not change. If the game was going to end in a tie, you wouldn't all of a sudden start throwing the ball 30 yards downfield to try to avoid a tie. You'd take the tie over a loss. A tie doesn't hurt you. A loss does.
Yeah, I just don't think it's broken. I've never understood the debate. And it comes up every time there's some key game or something.
Well, it came up last year because the same thing happened to the Colts last year against San Diego. They went into overtime. San Diego won the toss, and they went down and scored. Now, what I think is in both that game and this game, to me, the really unfair thing was, in addition to having to come up with that stop, you have to overcome horrendous officiating. Whereas the Colts had a terrible third down call against them last year on an incomplete third down pass that gave the Chargers a first down, and they eventually went on to win the game. Same thing happens in with Minnesota. They had a chance to stop them, sure. And they get called for a bogus pass interference call, which all but puts the ball in field goal range for the Saints.
Right.
So it's hard enough to come up with a stop. You shouldn't have to overcome the officiating, too.
But that's my point.
That's an epidemic throughout the game.
There's issues on all levels of football. There's problems. It's not perfect. It's never going to be perfectly fair. And, like, this is the lightning rod one that we'll fix this one. We'll ignore all the others, and we'll fix this one. And it also assumes that only one-third of your team is good.
I heard someone say that yesterday, right. And I agree.
Well, there's two other thirds to your team, or maybe it's not thirds.
Right.
Maybe it's a fifth for special teams.
You have a defense and a special teams.
They have opportunities to do something.
Right. Who's to say that the defense can't pick off a pass
right.
and run it back?
I mean,
it happened in Green Bay. Remember the Green Bay, Seattle?
Wouldn't the Ravens in 2000 say, gee, I hope they win the toss so we can, like, their defense was great. So there's teams that are defensive-minded.
You know, that would have been really, really interesting.
An overtime game, they won the toss and gave them the ball.
A team like that, and I don't know if they had overtime games that year.
They deferred.
I mean, you could make a strong case that particular team would have been better off playing defense with the ball on the other team's 20 than playing offense with the ball on their own 20.
Right. Yeah. So I just think that totally ignores great kick returners, great kick coverage,
sure
great kickers.
You automatically assume, okay, the offense is better. They're going to win.
If you have a guy who has a lot of touchbacks on kickoffs and a good defense, okay, I'll put it through the end zone, give him the ball in the 20, they'll punt from the 24,
and now I
have decent field position, right, and I'm going to win.
Like the 03 or 04 Patriots.
But no one acknowledges that as a possibility.
If they were in that situation, couldn't you have seen them trying to kick deep and have their defense try to win a game?
No. Not with Tom Brady, no. With Trent Dilfer?
No.
Not with Adam Vinatieri. His leg was weak at that point. That's why they let him walk.
I'm saying if you had a team that had the 03 or 04 defense.
Yeah, but they had an offense. I would want the ball. It's the team that doesn't have the offense. No, I'm not missing your point.
Right in front of you. It's on the end of your nose.
If the 2000 Ravens had the Patriots 04 offense, I wouldn't be advocating kicking off in overtime. I would take the ball, go down the field, score, and win.
All right.
I would cut out the middleman. I don't need
to get the
ball from being good
field. But I'm just saying it ignores two-thirds of your team. It assumes that only teams only have good offenses, and they're going to get the ball and win.
Let's get another phone call in before we go to a break. John in Dallas, what's up? John in Dallas.
Yes, guys.
What's up?
What's up?
What are you listening to? It didn't sound like us in the background.
That didn't sound like PFW in progress. They sounded like intelligent people in the background there.
Yeah, they are. You got that one right. I'm on a conference call. So.
Oh, well. No, you're not. You're not participating
to us.
I've got two ears and one mouth, so I'll try to make it quick.
What's going on?
What probability do you assign the Pats offering the DC job to Pepper Johnson?
Eight.
Thanks.
Zero.
And thanks for bringing that up, because we should mention that Vince Wilfork was quoted by Mike Reese this week as advocating Pepper Johnson for the job. I would put it higher than zero, but not much higher.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I don't think he has that much of a chance either.
Because I think there's a better chance they don't have one, so there's no job to offer anyone. And I think if a job gets offered, a title gets offered, I think it goes to Patricia.
But I think whether it's a title or not, or if it's Andy's favorite word, just a defensive coordinator in a
non-titular sense,
I think it would be Matt Patricia as well.
Interesting. Okay.
It sounds like you want Pepper Johnson.
Well, the reason I asked is because of what Wilfork said.
Yeah.
I'm not in the locker room, but it sounds like a lot of the guys respect him, right, or behind him.
Oh, I think they do.
Not only respect, I think they love him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think they like playing for him. I think he's an asset to this coaching staff. I do. I wouldn't be devastated if they said, "Hey, Pepper, Let's take the shot." I'm just not sure that he is tactically, from a schematic standpoint, that guy.
Right.
And I base that really on not specific knowledge, but more of an observation kind of thing.
How about on them? They've had the opportunity to make him the coordinator.
Several times.
They didn't. He was a relatively young coach, but he's been in the system forever.
And he's been a player.
So he
for
didn't
Bill.
Start from zero as the intern in 2000. He started from essentially knowing the system inside and then had to learn it kind of from out as a coach. But they passed him up when Mangini was the coordinator. They passed him up when Pease became the coordinator. I don't see that they have this great desire to make him the coordinator.
He clearly has more experience in the system than any of the other guys that they brought in it, because, like you said, he was a player in it long before he was a coach in it.
And Wilfork's comments, two things make me kind of poo-poo him a little bit. A, he's a player for Pepper Johnson. He's in that meeting room with him. He's his position coach.
Yeah.
I would argue for my guy, too, because he's the guy you like. He's the guy that you think is the best. You do love him. And the second thing is, my kind of conspiracy theory would be, maybe Vince Wilfork is just trying to create waves because he's not happy with his situation. He's going to be a free agent, and he's just trying to pop off, and he doesn't think he's going to get it, but wants to put it out there that he should get it.
That's an interesting point, but assuming number two is not correct, do you think there's any linkage between what Wilfork does long term at the Pats or what we do with him and Pepper's getting the position?
No.
Okay. Yeah.
Not really.
I think Wilfork's long term future here has to do with dollars and cents.
Yeah.
That's it. Bottom line. Yep. So I'm saying if someone came in with if there were equal offers or.
Whether or not that would sway him?
Oh, maybe that could be a factor if they were truly all things being equal, but they rarely are.
Yeah,
I think if he gets reasonably equal offers, I think Vince will stay.
Yeah.
I think Vince thinks he's going to get much more if he gets on the open market.
Right.
Truly on the open market, not a franchise player.
No, but I'm saying say they make Patricia the defensive coordinator. Pepper Johnson resigns and goes to another team, and that team offers the Patriots exactly the same amount.
But I don't think
would
so.
He go there? That's
possible. That's possible.
I think it's a tiny threat.
But I think he would still stay here.
Maybe.
Because I think it's, like you said, I think it's about dollars and cents.
I do, too.
Yeah, I think so, too. Hey, guys, when are you guys going to be ready to talk about the draft?
2 weeks.
No, it's going to be longer than that.
After the Super Bowl. But, I mean, we got to have after the Super Bowl. Like,
after
that's
Super Bowl,
the season's
yeah, I mean, we have tape we have to get and watch. We have the combine we have to go visit. When we get back from the combine, usually is when we start to really have a really good feel for all these players. We can talk about them now, but we're not going to really have
but
much to
I
give you.
All I can talk about is, like, maybe 15 to 20 guys that are supposed to be first-round picks.
We like to make educated comments, unlike previous draft prognosticators.
Yeah, I could tell you who all the sure bets are, but then, you know, half of them will end up out of the league in a year.
Well,
you know, the way our old draft expert used to do.
Go ahead. What do you want?
I'm not going to ask you to comment on any one individual player, okay? But it's more of a general comment.
Okay.
Given the talent coming out this year, would you trade the 2011 first-rounder we got from Oakland to move up or to acquire some drafts picks in this year's draft?
I don't know if I'd waste that pick yet. I mean, we have four picks in the top 53. So I think you already have some leverage to move up if you want to already. I don't think you'd want to waste that bargaining chip right now.
I would base it solely on a player and how the draft. I don't make those trades in generalities. I don't mean to be, like, going against your general question. But to me, if you make a trade like that, there's one guy you have in mind, whether it's, you know, we were joking about Sam Bradford being the quarterback of the future if you want insurance against Brady, or if C.J. Spiller you think is a Chris Johnson game changer, then sure. But I wouldn't make it based on the general talent of this draft because I think it's average from what I've read, but I don't think it's this great draft where there's, you know, all these blue chippers that are not going to be available in future years.
Yeah, but you know what? We hear that kind of lament every year. Every year it's always, this draft isn't very good, but wait till next year's draft. And we've been hearing that, I think, for the last three or four years.
Yeah, I'm saying the opposite. I think this is an average draft. I think most drafts are average. That's why.
No, I know, but I'm saying a lot of people are always looking forward to the next draft.
He's such an idiot.
Right.
And then the next draft comes, and then they're saying, oh, we're going to look forward to the next draft.
No, but I think it's as equally dumb, to put it bluntly, to just make a trade this year and not knowing who's on the board when the pick you're trading for.
Yeah.
I think it would be a specific deal. You would trade that Raiders pick for to get something. If, as I said, whoever the guy is, Sergio Kindle,
a known commodity,
or
maybe
Ricky Sapp, or any of these guys that are, you know, already being linked to the Patriots, or a need position, a Spiller or Bradford, any guy you want to link to a potential marquee, you know, career to being a Pro Bowler, sure, I'd consider go getting him if I think he's better than what I could get the following year. And Bill will do that.
Can I offer my, what I think on it?
Sure.
I tend to agree with you. There's only one player, I think, coming out this year that I would probably trade that 2011 first rounder for, maybe something else.
Who's that?
Rolando McClain.
Why?
I think he's a beast. I think him and Mayo in the middle would be. I would dare for people to run on us.
Yeah, but how much better does your defense get? That's my. I think he's a great player. And had Gerard Mayo not been drafted 2 years ago, I'd say. Mm-hmm. Do everything you can to go get him because he knows the system. He's a beast in the middle. He will be the centerpiece of your defense for a decade. But I thought they drafted that guy with the 10th pick.
Yeah.
And you draft him, you still don't have an elite edge pass rusher.
That's
you still don't
question.
Have an elite corner. You still don't have an elite safety. If you lose Will Fork, you need defensive linemen. You still don't have a third receiver. I see great value in him. But I'm not sure the need here matches the great value.
If you have those two guys, John, and let's say you're right that nobody can run on them, well, who's going to rush the passer
right.
for you?
They'll
that's
pass
that's
on
my
you.
Big question, if that happens.
And I tend to think with Mayo, regardless of what you thought of his sophomore year, and I was disappointed in it, if you keep Wilfork and you have Mayo, I think you're pretty well set for teams to not run all that well against you as it is. So I think it's an incremental, a slight advantage you get. Yeah,
you're
with,
improving
with
something that already really wasn't that
right.
big of a problem. I mean, the playoff game notwithstanding.
He would be perfect had Mayo not come along. Mm-hmm. He would be the guy I'd be clamoring for. But Mayo's here.
Well, my feeling is that I think Mayo's a very good player. But I don't think he doesn't seem like a game changer.
I agree.
Not yet,
okay.
anyway.
I
agree
for
with
someone,
that.
I'm looking for someone to be explosive, okay, to play with an edge. He seems like he's going to, you know, get 100 tackles every season consistently, and he'll be a good player, but I'm looking for a game changer.
I kind of agree with you. So now you have to come up with a trade scenario where I can ship Mayo and a pick to get the pick to get McClain, because I just don't think you want both those players on your team. I don't think you need them. I just don't think it makes sense to have both those guys with all the other needs.
That's
I agree with your overall premise.
Yeah, it's an interesting thought.
I think he's a great player. I think he's probably closer to Patrick Willis than Jerod Mayo is. And everybody uses Patrick Willis as the modern-day measuring stick for that young, playmaking inside linebacker. But you already used your resources of the 10th pick in the draft on Jerod Mayo.
And I would also agree with your overall premise, John, that if you were to do something like that, if you want to move up, that's exactly how you do it. That's the mindset you have. There's one specific guy that I'm willing to fork over, you know, a pretty hefty price for. And if that's the guy, if McClain's that guy, then I totally agree with your premise. But I sort of agree with the repetition of the position. If it was an outside guy,
in a heartbeat,
I think I'd be more willing to do it.
Okay, well, McClain, I mean, I think, well, I don't know. I've never seen him play outside, but he's got the size to play outside, doesn't he?
But he's not an elite edge rusher.
That's not his natural position.
Sure, I think he's a great football player, so I think he could probably play any. Just like Mayo played inside.
I mean,
I like
the guy. I mean, I haven't looked at tape and stuff like that, just on games that I've seen Alabama play.
I'm looking for the guy that takes two steps and is in the quarterback's mug, the guy we've never had.
This is one of those areas where if we could see more film on him.
Tippett could probably still do it now.
When we'll be able to do in a few weeks, we'll be able to determine whether or not we think he can move to the outside or if he's big enough or has that kind of skill set. We just don't know right now.
I'm ready to make that. He's not an a James Harrison or one of these marquee guys you want to build a defense around as your edge rusher. He's a great player on the inside. It's kind of like our discussion on Ben Watson. You know, he's so athletic as a tight end, let's make him a receiver. Well, no, that it doesn't work.
Doesn't translate. All right, meanwhile, the people on John's conference call are wondering what happened to him. They asked him a question about 20 minutes ago, and
numbers are down across the board. Gee, I wonder why. You guys not even paying attention in conference calls.
This call actually takes priority. So,
all right. Thanks for the call, John.
Thanks, John.
We'll talk to you later. All right, we'll be back in 2 minutes.
Jesus.
So, Pat, what time does our flight get in?
It says here American Airlines Flight 505 gets in at 7:05.
Perfect. Game starts at 7:30. I suppose you know our gate number, too?
Yep. Says so right here on my phone, Brian.
Yeah, you think you know everything because you have one of those smartphones.
What's wrong? You're jealous because I can check AA.com, get flight info, gates and times, pretty much anything flight-related?
I like to keep it simple. You know, that's how I roll. I'm old school. So I travel with one of these.
Brian, that's a cordless phone.
Right. No cord.
From your home.
That's right.
How's that working out for you?
To be honest, the range is somewhat limited. But only when I travel.
Find all the flight info you need for the big game or the big meeting at aa.com/mobile. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Okay, so to recap, these are last year's sales results, and here's how we stand now. I need some clutch players who can get us some numbers up on the board. Ted.
Yes, sir.
In the fourth quarter. We've come from behind in the fourth quarter before. Ted,
what?
I need you here in the shotgun. Put on this helmet.
It's a garbage can.
Do it.
But it's dark in here.
Susan.
Yes?
What? You're going to reverse right and then break left at the cubicle.
What?
I am.
Let's go!
Mr. Krevelin?
I was awkward.
Think football? Bank football. Get Patriots banking only from Bank of America. Get the Patriots logo on your checks, debit card, and your Patriots Extra Points credit card. Use Extra Points rewards to get tickets or even stand on the sidelines during pregame warm-ups. Plus, you get a bonus match on your Keep the Change savings. To get Patriots banking, go to a banking center or bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Yes.
What?
Yes.
What?
You can take the trash can off now.
What?
Keep the Change patent pending. Credit card programs are issued and administered by FIA Card Services NA, Bank of America NA, member PIC, copyright 2009, Bank of America Corporation.
Hello?
50 seasons of New England Patriots football. 3 Super Bowl championships. Endless memories.
It's good! It's good!
Live them all at the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. Celebrate the greatest players, moments, and teams in Patriots history with sights and sounds that put you right in the action. Step inside the huddle as Tom Brady calls the plays. Go under the hood and review controversial calls just like a replay official. Learn the playbook from head coach Bill Belichick. Take your best shot at a game-winning field goal in the snow and let the confetti rain down while you gaze at the Patriots' 3 Vince Lombardi trophies.
Back-to-back, 3 out of 4.
Yes, it's a dynasty. And don't miss the 30-foot-high displays honoring the team's greatest players or the signature film showing the history of football in New England. The Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, is located next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, Mass. And is open 7 days a week. Call 508-698-4800 for more information or go online to thehallatpatriotplace.com. The Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. An unforgettable, exciting, interactive experience.
This is PFW in progress.
We're making the world a better place. How? We're selling them nuclear horse piss for $6 a can. What an accomplishment.
Feels good, doesn't it?
No. Plus, it's totally easy to do hungover. I could do this job forever.
If I had to do this job forever, I'd put a bullet in my head.
PFW in progress with Fred Kirsch.
Now, why do you bow for that guy?
Because he's the king and he rules the entire realm.
Oh, my bad. Is that when he is or isn't whacking it to The Sims?
Paul Perillo.
Fendi is 20. Large is large. In fact, tall is large, and grande is Spanish for large. Fendi's the only one that doesn't mean large. It's also the only one that's Italian. Congratulations, you're stupid in 3 languages.
And Andy. And Andy?
The sun is shining, but you have lost the ability to take any joy in life.
Andy Hart.
You're just a miserable now. You're mean to everybody.
Eric Scalavino. For now, anyway.
Don't listen to them, all right? Do what makes you happy. You want to wear a cape? Wear a cape. You want to wear a suit of armor? Who gives a shit? Screw them.
PFW in progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
It's this fantasy world where anything is possible.
Sounds gay.
If by gay you mean the old English definition of fun, enjoyable, and carefree, then yes, it's extremely gay.
That's us.
That is so much funnier now that I've seen the movie. I urge all PFW in Progress listeners to go see Role Models. It's on HBO right now. Well, not right
now. Not right now.
It's in
probably
the
right
rotation.
Now. Could be on right now.
On demand. If you get on demand, go to Role Models. It's funny. You can turn it off about half to three quarters of the way through because that's the point where it stops being stupid funny and starts trying to have like a moral and be all sappy and whatever. But the first half, very funny. The cape
movie,
lines.
The movie goes downhill really fast.
Yeah. But it's funny. Some good boob shots. A couple good boob shots as well.
Who's?
I don't know. Some women.
Like actress we know? I don't remember who's in that movie.
The actresses are not. Well, the blonde.
I like your boobs.
Is
yes!
relevant. His ex-girlfriend is a famous. But the funny guy is the
from American Pie,
yeah,
right?
He's funny.
Stifler.
And the other guy's not bad in his role. Paul Rudd or Joe
Paul
Rudd,
Rudd yeah, from.
But the kid steals.
4-year-old virgin?
The little black kid steals it. He just.
He was in that. Yeah, he's in a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
The lines that come out of the mouth of the little black kid are hilarious.
Really?
Pondered yeah. my wife to say, whose mother would let their kid say these things on a movie?
On a movie? She's worried about actually delivering the lines?
I mean, a lot of the stuff is pretty vulgar and dirty and whatever. Okay, Perez.
So, Eric's here. Paul's here. Andy's
By
here.
Gay.
Doc's here.
Ian, do you have anything specific from the conference championships that stood out to you? Because you didn't really weigh in with
Are
your
you
thoughts.
Leading me to water?
No, not at all. Well, Eric and I talked about the conference championships.
You can lead a horse's ass to water, but you can't make him drink.
Good point.
How would he drink
when
through
you
his
took
ass?
The first 15 minutes of the show off and Eric and I talked about the conference championships, you didn't
For
weigh
most
in.
People, that's an exit, not an entrance. I know you treat it a little differently, but...
It's just nonstop.
Conference
Completely
championship
breaking
games.
The rule that we agreed to.
The one thing I blogged yesterday was...
Bully.
What?
Exactly.
You bully.
I'm not a bully.
You're going to get yours.
Eric's gonna.
I'm gonna walk in one day.
Beat you down in the middle
Eric's
of the office.
Just be swinging away at him. I did come in immediately on Monday, and I went over to congratulate Eric because I knew how happy he must have been.
Idiot.
Put him a good red
pat on the back.
Oh, the thing.
Congratulations, fella.
I blogged about was David Thomas and the role he filled out for the Saints, and the fact that it was the exact role we saw on the practice fields, except they decided they didn't want that role, and they traded him, and now he's performing that role for a Super Bowl team that was one of the best offenses in league history.
Funny how that happens.
So then that led me to just put a blog entry, which was the worst of the minor offseason trades, and it got some traction, a lot of votes. Button hooked me, as we like to say on this show, with the vote for Russ Hochstein's trade to the Broncos.
Yeah, they have asked us to stop saying that.
Yeah.
Just like they asked
Eric
Peyton Manning.
Asked me to stop saying he's, you know.
Just like they asked Peyton Manning to stop using the word obviously.
Right. Hi there.
So he used grind 7 times.
Right. Speaking of grind, we have an MP3 from Sam in Chicago.
Well
right?
done, Eric. Especially with your lack of knowledge in that area.
Hi, guys. First and foremost, thank you for the great shower. Show that kept the season bright.
Definitely.
Amongst too many dreary post-game reports. Last Sunday's game looked like more than one Patriot player was sitting with Bob Kraft sipping a beer. Help me out, guys. It's clear the only leader during Sunday's game was Kevin Falk, and I might have a crush on Edelman. All I can say at this point is that if I hear the 2010 NFL draft announcer say the Patriots are trading down any other top four picks, I'll get sick all over my Wells Walker jersey. So anyways, I look forward to more PFW shows during the offseason and wonder who and what's in store for us next year. So shave it, Carl. Behave, Andy.
Shave it.
Sharpen your pencil, Eric. Stay in the treadmill, Doc. And thank you, Fred, for your undying spirit. And who doesn't like a little cherry pie this offseason?
Oh.
Love you guys. Go Pats!
She had the porn music. That's very well done.
She did that the first time around.
No, I think she added. That was a nice touch.
That was good.
Touch.
That was a nice touch. Well done, Sam.
What do you think she wants you to shave? Some it on you or some it on her?
Oh, unbelievable. See, that right
well,
there,
really went bald
that
there,
right there is why we don't have a gig.
That's I guess why we're, she's already bald
That's why
there.
We're relegated to the internet.
Landing strip.
Unbelievable. You're unbelievable. You just don't stop. It's a matter of time before I'm telling you this is all just taken away.
Oh, Lord.
Okay. That seems
very
to
well.
Be one of the most common sentiments among Patriots fans.
Don't
you trade down and I'm going to kill you.
Yeah, for some reason, I think, not for some reason, I think we all know the reason, but people have had it with the trading down
right.
stuff.
And you know why people have had it? Because they're paying attention more.
Because it hasn't worked.
No, well,
yeah.
but I believe they're
and
paying
and it
attention
hasn't worked.
More.
That's
they're
right.
paying attention to guys they've passed on, guys, not we could have done something with pick blank. Now they're paying attention to the guys that they could have actually drafted, an actual name, and then they're seeing
right.
those guys have good
Doing
rookie
well.
Years, and they're saying,
yeah.
you could have had that guy. Don't give me the crap about value. That right. guy was good value because he was good.
But it's much like Fred's – I totally agree with you, Andy, but it's like Fred keeps saying, well, it worked. You know, all these
did it work?
Philosophies that they've
did it really
had.
Work?
Yeah, all of these things that they did worked very well 5 years ago. And the last 5 years, they haven't worked anywhere near as well or as often. Even the ones that they've hit on haven't been as good as in the past when they've hit on trading down or moving around and finding the quote-unquote value picks. You know, they haven't had that kind of impact. Even when they've had, you know, a mid-round pick that's worked out and the guy stayed and he's become a contributing player, he hasn't been as good of a contributing player as Dan Copen was as a fifth-round pick as a rookie or as Asante Samuel was
right.
as a fourth-round pick. Yeah, they've had guys that have stuck around and still play, but they haven't been quite as good.
The success of the team has...
Therefore, the performance has gone down.
The success of the team has in some way spoiled the fans into wanting that sort of success every year. It's hard to do every year, to do that kind of thing,
oh,
to draft a fifth-round
that,
guy
but that's
and have
my point
contribute.
With Fred. You can keep doing it that way. It's much harder
right.
to do it that way, though.
Well, I need to – I don't have the numbers in front of me. I'll be posting it on the blog at some point this week. But Pro Football Weekly did a 5-year draft study, and it does not put a positive spin on the Patriots drafting.
How can it?
I believe they have the lowest – see, I don't have the numbers. They had the lowest something. It was either starters. No, it can't be starters. I bet you it's the lowest players remaining on the team from the total of the 5-year drafts. I believe that. But and they didn't. A lot of the numbers, they did not fare well. Some of it obviously is swayed. Like when you have 1 year when no one but Brandy Merriweather makes it,
yeah.
that's going to sway it. But that was bad. That shows you were bad. It's not unfair to include it. It was bad.
Right. Right.
what I wanted to say was part of the problem in my mind is marrying depth with top-end talent. And that's been a struggle for a while now. Like Merriweather. So even if you think he's a legitimate Pro Bowler, you got nothing else. So sure, you got top-end talent, but you didn't get the complimentary. And then, you know, with Mayo, the only guy you have is Will Hite to go with Mayo, and most people want to run him out of town now. So you didn't put together hit early and hit late.
Mm-hmm.
You might have hit on one or the other, but to be really good, you have to hit on both. And I'm not saying all of the picks. I'm saying get a starter, get an elite guy, and then also get the fifth-round center who's your center for the next 5 years.
Yeah, it's funny, you know, we always talk about when you have a draft, you can't really evaluate it for a couple of years, 2-3 years or whatever. But that only holds true when it's for negative.
Right.
Somehow, you have no problem with declaring a draft, a solid draft, immediately if you think it is.
Which we've fallen victim to.
Oh, and when I'm saying, I say we. I don't mean just them. I'm saying us. I thought the 08 draft, for example, was very good in 08. I don't think it's anywhere near as good as I thought it was in 08, now that it's, you know, through
now
the 09.
They cut Kevin O'Connell. Jonathan Wilhite's getting beat like a drum.
You know, and you just brought
Matthew
it up.
Slater is Matthew Slater.
I thought Terrence Wheatley was going to be a contributing defensive back. He hasn't
won't be
been.
On the team.
Do you Sean Crable, 2 years of IR. Complete waste.
Irrelevant.
Kevin O'Connell, as you mentioned, gone. I mean, that's a bad draft. You got Gerard Mayo. And what I don't even think a good complimentary cornerback. I know you guys think a lot more of Will Hite than I do.
I've come down a bit on him. I still think he has talent.
09, there's a lot of players that played as rookies in 09.
But
I'm wondering how many of those guys played because you lost so many veterans. Mm-hmm.
There's also a lot of guys that didn't. Their names are Ron Brace, Patrick Chung,
right.
And those are key picks.
High picks, yeah.
You know, that's part of your value. We're going to get good second-round value. Well, if you only go 50%, it's not as good a value.
But for some reason, it's okay to say a draft was good right away. It's just wrong if you say a draft was bad
Paul,
right
generally,
away.
Generally, we're very positive and we're quick
well,
to
I know,
be positive.
Well, I know
it's
how you are.
It's nature, and it's hard right. to fight
I know
your
how
nature.
You are specifically, and you are very, if nothing else, very optimistic about everything in life.
I say it every day.
Most miserable person I've ever met.
Just saw an That's update on true. Fox that a Dutch company, Spiker, I think, has bought my Saab. Not my Saab.
I was gonna.
Not my own
take
car.
It out of the lot. Are you gonna need a ride
no,
home
but,
tonight?
They were in jeopardy of being wiped out completely. But I guess they're.
So your parts just went up significantly because
they might have
be imported.
They
would. That was really
well,
interesting.
Maybe
not.
We'll see.
I mean, they were made by what GM before. Now it's
yeah.
Good.
Well,
good
GM
call
owned
there.
Them, but I'm not sure if they still made the parts over in.
No, they made them here. You're screwed. 72% markup now.
Mm. Anyway. All right, back to the inbox. Tim in Baltimore writes in. I was
speaking of inbox.
I was taking.
Thank you, Sam.
Oh my God!
Wow!
My God!
You are really. We're gonna get kicked off the air if
he's
somebody actually listens
now.
To this
we're
show. We're gonna get
air.
Kicked off.
We're on fiber optic.
But he's
yeah,
to
we're gonna get
now,
kicked
he's
off of that.
Actually, he's succeeding in shock value with the other members of the show.
I know.
Because you two are pansies.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Or as Fred would say it, if I whisper it and say it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Tim in Baltimore. I was taking the shuttle bus to the Camden station yesterday, and that Miley Cyrus song, Party in the USA, Paul's favorite, came on. And I remember thinking that this is the only song worse than This Is Our House. Don't get me wrong. I like Bon Jovi, but that song has got to go, Doc. Also, I was
what
thinking.
What song? I'm not sure we ever acknowledged the song on the record.
That is a terrible song.
What, Party in the USA?
No. No, that's a great song. I'm on record.
Paul raises his hands all the time when that song comes on.
I
you
usually,
should see him.
Usually,
he bops his head.
My head back and
like,
forth.
Yeah.
Stop.
Moves his hips.
Stop. I usually move my head back and forth.
It's funny. Paul's head bobs side to side. Eric's? What?
Look at Doc having that song on the ready.
That means he's played it recently.
What do you think I do after the show?
All right.
We don't want to know what you do after the show.
I don't want to know
nothing.
That.
I've never thought you did one thing.
And I will say, I'm not a huge Miley Cyrus fan in general.
But that song?
Was she the one who was on the recent Maxim? One of those young girls. Just
oh, that's
to,
just wrong.
Yeah. And not hot.
She's
it
like
wouldn't
11.
Be wrong if she was hot.
It wouldn't be
like
wrong
that girl
if she
from
was
Party
hot.
Of Five when she was hot, when she was young.
Jennifer
Lacey,
Lacey Chabert?
No, Jennifer Love Hewitt was just hot. This is the young girl.
Yeah, Claudia on Party of Five.
Look at him.
Creep.
I know.
No. She wasn't hot on Party of Five.
No, she was just
hot as an adult.
Right.
Yes. There's a big difference there.
Right. Miley Cyrus, not hot. Young or old.
She was a little kid on Party of Five.
What has she been in lately?
I don't know. She's been. You see her in movies once in a while, but I can't.
A lot of emails.
I can't even think
of it. Tim continues. Also, I was thinking the Pats could trade the Oakland pick, the one in 11, as we say on this show, for
as
a pick.
Paul says on the show.
For a pick.
Actually, he says 2011.
For a pick in this draft, preferably a 10 to 15 pick. Do you think a team would consider that, and would it be worth it? It's Tim in Baltimore.
It would be a package deal, I assume, because I don't think you're going to trade number
11
next
year. Not just going to trade number
11
next year for a 10 this year. No, it would have to be something else.
I'm sure teams would consider it. Again, I think that's a draft day type trade. That's who's available and who doesn't want. You know, we were talking about Bucky Brooks on NFL.com came out with what I deem to be laughable mock draft, in which he had no non-lineman going in the top 10. Had C.J. Spiller going at 26. Oh no, Sam Bradford at 26. C.J. Spiller at 28. I just don't see that happening. You know, maybe I'm really, really overvaluing Sam Bradford, but you're telling me a team that needs a quarterback, say they're not a team that needs one, but wants to do the, you know, draft him 2 years in advance, wouldn't trade to the 18th pick or if he's still on the board, get a guy who now you have under contract at good money, not top five money, to develop. I find it hard to believe things like that are going to happen, but that's when those trades occur. The Patriots see the guy, boom, let's go get him, or somebody else, you know, whatever. So that's all good in theory to say, let's trade the 2011 for a first-rounder this year, but why would you do it until you know the guy you want is there?
Plus, I think teams like to have that ace up their sleeve.
Right.
A future first-round pick like that always looks more attractive a year before than it even does sometimes the year that you have it.
Right. And Bill loves the chips, and I just don't think he'd give up chips earlier than to actually, boom, go get the exact guy they want. Sam Bradford, imagine that. Sam Bradford and C.J. Spiller
would you
on
take
the
him?
Clock.
Which one would you take?
I would take Spiller, and then I'd sign Tom Brady to an extension.
Would you even consider Bradford, Paul, if he were available at 22?
No.
Not at all?
No.
No matter what?
He can't run the
Wildcat. I don't love Sam Bradford.
Well, certainly not the way Andy does. Andy's putting him in Canton already.
Imagine if he goes to the Steelers.
Oh. Now, I don't hate Sam Bradford either. I just don't think...
You don't think he's what Andy thinks he is.
I don't think he's good enough that I would pick him with Tom Brady already on my team, still with significant time left, presumably. Mm. Now,
what if they pick him? Will you say, Brady's gone?
Sure, that would change my opinion, yeah. That's why, you know, off the air, I brought up to you, and we all agree that we think Brady's going to get re-signed and will be back, despite Andy's shots that he continues to take at me, putting words
despite
in my mouth.
Despite you saying you'd take Matthew Stafford over Brady.
No, I didn't say that, but that's okay. I'll let you continue to perpetuate your myths. But I don't think that I brought up to Andy, do you think there's even a slight possibility that they allow Brady to play out the 2010, I want to say it the way Andy and Eric
the
like
2010.
It, the 2010 season.
2010.
Without signing an extension?
Without signing him and then signing him as a real free agent.
Yes, I think there's a chance.
I think it's a possibility, but...
Which is very atypical. Most quarterbacks get that big. You know, Eli got it. Yeah. Roethlisberger got it. They all get it.
But uncapped years.
Brady got it the last. Well, that's my point.
That's the only reason I think it could happen is because of the landscape.
Mm. And if that's the case, then you have another year.
That's the case.
Who knows? And you have that 2011 pick of the Raiders, which probably is going to be a top eight pick.
So you think they could just
now all
sort
of a sudden?
Wait and see
I don't know
what's
who
available?
The quarterback is.
Yep.
That's going to be in that draft. But now all of a sudden you're saying. Well, I can re-sign him, or I could
draft
the replacement right here and now.
You know, a lot of
doubtful, very doubtful.
A lot of fans have been writing into not just the show, but to SPFW, saying like we talked about earlier, they're starting to pay attention more about how we've drafted and how other teams have drafted in the past, and how the Patriots haven't gotten it done in the last few years, and they're starting to question the way things are going. That's sort of what Preston and Brockton wants to write in about. He says, why can't we draft like Indy? And
how many Prestons do you think there are in Brockton? Not a lot.
Could also be a made-up name.
That's true.
And why didn't we draft Manning? He says, Peyton Manning, I guess. I'm a Brady fan, but the wheel is still turning over for Brady and Manning arguments. I hope Bill watched everything so that he can soak up some info on how to get things done on the field.
Wow.
I can't believe I'm actually saying this, considering I hate Manning more than anyone. But he is the ultimate quarterback. Anyone know what planet he's from or whether he's related to Terminator or RoboCop? Because he is a machine.
He is a machine, for better
so
or worse.
Ridiculous.
On another note, I saw Kevin Falk in the club this weekend in Providence. along with one of the practice squad guys. My point being, I wanted to walk up to him and say, why are you here and not in the weight room? And why is a practice squad guy here? Is this the reason why we're watching the Super Bowl from home instead of playing in it? This is the fourth time I've seen Pats players at the same club in Providence. I think Bill needs to be informed.
Wait, when was
what
this?
About you?
When did he say?
This was over the weekend.
Oh, he's been out of football for a couple of weeks now. I mean,
fans are really angry about what's been going on lately.
They're not allowed to have social lives.
It's the whole Brady gone soft thing.
Yeah.
A lot of discontent.
If they had been still doing this and winning, you wouldn't be hearing any of this,
right.
Obviously. But they're not winning, so people are getting anxious. And NFL Network is replaying the, week 10 we went there, Colts?
Looking good. Pats up 24-7.
4 minutes to go in the first half.
I'm feeling pretty good about this one, Paul. That's a big lead for the Patriots to give up. 24-14. There's Jonathan Wilhite.
Your guy.
Wow. Oh, sorry, he can't cover Reggie Wayne.
Or anybody else.
That's just not right. You don't think he could have covered some of the wide receivers this team put out there? Isaiah Stanback?
No.
Oh, I do. You're an idiot.
It's just a matter of whether or not
Slater?
You didn't ask me if Matthew Slater or Isaiah Stanback were going to be where they were supposed to be. That's
different. You're just being overly negative on Jonathan Wilhite.
I just don't think he's that good.
Playing the role of, you know what, you're being a fan, and you know what you say about fans?
They're stupid.
Thank you.
Oh, wow.
A lot of emails.
Yeah, and a lot of Irish.
I don't mind being
a lot of Irish emails today.
I don't mind being labeled a fan. I'm not like you.
I am one of the biggest fans there is.
Right.
And just, I root for Rashad Mendenhall, Sam Bradford.
Lying your ass.
Exactly. I'm a fan of this team. You're not.
Me too.
Hey, guys. Peter.
Oh, I'm not a fan of James Sanders.
Okay,
oh,
one
my
guy.
It's called Felicio.
Yeah, exactly.
Mendenhall is ridiculous.
Literal and figurative. Hey, guys, Peter in Ireland. Yes, Andy, I'm drunk. Been listening for a while, but this is my first email, so be gentle.
Love That's what he said.
I shouldn't read this line, but
someone said.
I will. Love the show, but I think you guys should treat Eric better. There are sexual discrimination laws around. Anyway, on to football. We need a third receiver. We need a third receiver. Which of these free agents do you guys like for next year? Miles Austin, Antonio Bryant, Steve Breston, Malcolm Floyd, Kevin Walter, or Lance Moore. Personally, I would love a guy like Marshall, but no chance we get him. Malcolm Floyd intrigues me. A very different tall receiver could give us a different dimension. For the whole Jabbar Gaffney running all the routes thing, maybe Steve Breston could do it. Anyway, to wrap up, you guys do a great job and are always entertaining. That's Peter in Ireland.
Thank you, Peter.
Aaron Gobra, Les.
What?
What?
What'd you say?
Aaron Gobra, Les.
Who's Aaron?
Most of those guys.
I don't know, but I wanted to go bra.
The won't be true free agents.
Well, there's also the differentiation in roles. I mean, Malcolm Floyd and Lance Moore are not the same guy. They're kind of far apart on the spectrum of guys. I'm intrigued by Malcolm Floyd. I'm not going to lie to you. And I may be swayed by the performance he had against
numbers.
The Patriots.
Put up some good numbers
this
year.
He once again had 17-2 or whatever. 2. I'm intrigued by him getting his chance.
Antonio Bryant is a UFA. Okay.
Right. He's been around forever. Right.
He's won. He's
had franchised last year.
He had a troubled past.
Yes.
But put it together. Certainly seems to have overcome that.
Year?
He had a decent year, but they had all those problems with the quarterback in Tampa Bay. So you can't put that on him.
Quarterbacks who threw to Brandon Merriweather more than their own receivers.
Austin is a 4-year restricted free agent.
Really?
Steve Breston is a three-year free agent. And Malcolm Floyd is a 4-year free agent. Lance Moore is not even. Wait a minute, hold on. Lance Moore is a 4-year free agent. Okay. So most of these guys.
Restricted.
You're dealing with the restricted free agent offer
Paul
sheet
Perillo.
Process. Anquan
Boldin.
I would take Anquan Boldin.
I've
said that many times. I think Anquan Boldin is a terrific talent. I would take him in a heartbeat. Yep.
According to published reports, the Cardinals' best offer last year was a 3rd-round pick and a player. Which they obviously declined.
But
they
he
are
now says,
open.
And I don't know if he's telling the truth, but
he doesn't let you finish.
He now says he doesn't want to be traded.
Welcome
he wants to,
my
to
world.
Stay there.
Yeah, but they don't want him, I don't think, anymore. I don't think they want to invest in him. I think they feel like with Breston and some of the other guys, they don't need to keep that and pay.
But they don't
so
have
it's on the horizon. Would you trade? I threw this out there yesterday. Assuming you don't think you're going to get Vince Wilfork done. Vince Wilfork to the Cardinals for Derek Dockery. That's his name right now.
Yeah,
that's
I think
not
so.
Derek, is it? John Dockery?
No.
Darnell Dockett.
Darnell Dockett. That the guy I like. And see, this was a conversation with Fred.
It went much easier with Fred.
Is this going to be a Fred, Fred trade?
Anquan Boldin. And with some draft picks involved.
I couldn't do that trade fast enough. Vince Wilfork for those two guys?
Yeah.
I couldn't do that fast enough.
Baloney.
I would trade Vince Wilfork for Anquan Boldin.
Straight up?
Yes. I couldn't do that trade fast enough.
Would you do that?
Darnell Dockett's a really, really good defensive.
I know.
Player.
I love him.
Boldin
and
Wilfork.
He would also play in my scheme of, I think we're going more to a less two gap.
More of a versatile defensive.
I think he
line.
Can shoot the gap and make some plays. I'd be intrigued by watching him play.
I know not a lot of people like Anquan Boldin. I think he's a terrific player.
I like him too.
I think he's a
I
good
think
player.
His
think
biggest problem is that.
Typical concerns.
Diva, wide receiver.
But, now a little bit injury issue.
Yeah, he does have injury problems, and you wonder where those injury problems are coming from. I don't know. Say something like getting strong at the NFL level.
Wow.
I don't know.
What do you mean, Paul?
He's been tied. It's not like I'm throwing it out there.
Where did he go to college?
Florida.
FSU.
He got strong at the college level, too. I guarantee you he was bigger
in
college.
But he has been tied
to.
I mean, it's not like those kinds of things haven't dogged him earlier in his career. They have.
What?
You know.
Well, I need you to say it, Paul.
No. No, you don't. Andy could talk about landing strips. I can't suggest that a guy got strong at the NFL level.
I don't think he can. Well, I mean, one is...
I didn't say he did.
...attacking the character of an established NFL player. Taking the Wilfork out of it, would you... You know, I don't know what the player was last year, so it's hard to say what they now would listen to, a third-round pick, and if the player was Eric Alexander or if the player was Vince Wilfork, where the level of player was. But would you pursue that trade?
If I were the Patriots?
Yes.
Yes.
Anquan Boldin.
I would be strongly interested in acquiring him if I could do
At
I
least
do
doing the due diligence and looking into the concerns that we have.
I mean, there's a lot of teams that
and
would
I've
be
heard,
interested, obviously.
I've heard people say that, he doesn't even play that position, you know, because they need him to be the guy opposite. I get confused all the time with the X and the Z and all that stuff. I think it's the X that they want. Is Moss the Z?
I don't know.
I don't. I always get confused on the X, Y, and Z.
I don't throw those around like other media members because I don't know what they mean.
Exactly. And
outside guy or slot.
I mean, I know what they mean, but I don't.
Yeah,
have
you don't use
and
it.
Neither do the people that usually throw them around.
Right.
And they
That's
claim
why Bill
that,
always goes, well, he never played that position for us.
Right. Boldin plays this spot evidently in Arizona is the same as the one that Moss plays here, so it's not a match.
I don't care.
I don't know if that's true or not, and I don't care.
And because it's a problem I only deal with for a year.
Exactly. And I find out if he can play on the other side. And
that's why I'm intrigued by Floyd, because I'd like to see him get a chance opposite Moss.
I would take a shot on Malcolm Floyd.
And then I'd even take the chance of, once Moss leaves, what he could do as Moss. As you know, now you got to step up and be the guy.
Lance Moore
24-14, the Patriots are driving in the third.
Lance Moore is more of a slot guy, right?
Yeah. And we know Patriots fans want them, because we have Welker at some point. We have Edelman. They want Jordan Shipley. We're just going to collect slot receivers. I thought you had to have an outside guy to have a slot guy, but apparently you can just have slots.
Oh, God. I'm not going to read this whole email, Andy, but I'm just going to read the beginning of it because...
It takes a shot at me.
No, listen. It's eight paragraphs long, okay? It's from Phil in doesn't say where.
Nova Scotia?
But he says, "Hey, guys, I'm a longtime Pats fan who grew up in Mass, but now live in the Atlanta area. I listen to your podcast every week. You have not read my previous email, so I will try to be less long-winded in this one."
And it's eight paragraphs.
And it's eight paragraphs long.
Well, read
all
it today.
Right.
No, read it today. Fred's okay. Not here. We can step up to the plate and actually read some of these that he skips.
All right, we'll do that for you, Phil. Phil in the Atlanta area.
Go.
Like most fans, I was disappointed by the mediocre season, punctuated by the blowout loss to the Ravens. My hope is that all of this, as well as the undeniable rise of the Jets as a clear long-term rival, make it possible for the organization...
Just kidding.
To avoid the badly needed changes needed to get us back on top. This loss has been a long time in the making. There's been a steady deterioration in talent since 2004. The drafting from 04 to 08 was mediocre at best. You guys tend to say that drafts were okay because other than Chad Jackson, most guys were at least serviceable. I disagree. The problem is not
Eric
that...
always thinks guys are...
The problem is not
I
that...
like when you laugh, even though I'm breaking the rule.
I know. The problem is not that they whiffed on Chad Jackson, it's that Vince Wilfork is the only home run.
Logan Mankins, Gerard Mayo, Stephen Gostkowski, all good players, but none are impact players.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Excuse me?
Logan Mankins is as close to a home run at guard as you can get.
I think so, too. And Stephen Gostkowski is close
pretty
to a home
close.
Run as you can get.
Trouble is, they're a guard and a kicker.
Especially coming off a Hall of Fame kicker.
Trouble is, you missed on the marquee game-changing wide receiver safety positions where a home run is visible. I think a guard is a home run. You just don't always know he's a home run.
By the way, Paul, we're reading a letter from Phil in Atlanta who... His email is 8 paragraphs long, but he started off by saying, you haven't read my previous email, so I'm going to try to make this one less long-winded.
And then he also said that...
But we're reading it anyway.
We say the drafts are serviceable, because the guys that they picked were serviceable. We call the drafts okay. And I said, Eric thinks all guys are serviceable.
He had to fill me in on
well,
that.
Well, he even
laughed. Just in case I missed
He even laughed. So those are the worst ones, because he encourages me. You know how it is? You know, he laughs and encourages me to do it more.
We got to get this email over with. We only have half an hour left.
It's true. We got to get to picks.
In today's NFL, you need to draft more than one impact player in 5 years to be a top team. This past year's draft looks good, but if I had to bet now, I think we will end up with several solid singles, maybe a double, Darius Butler, but no home runs.
Wow. I think Butler's closer to home run than single. But...
Vollmer? Hello? The free agent decisions during this time have also been poor. Adalys Thomas cost big bucks and contributed little. Delta O'Neal, Dwayne Starks, Monty Beisel, many others cost less but contributed nothing. I think the root cause of these bad decisions in both the draft and free agency is overcaution. The organization wants to avoid busts in the draft. This leads to safe picks who contribute but have limited ceilings. They avoid big money free agents except for Adalys Thomas. This lessens risk, but they end up with low-priced Jags. The cautious approach worked back when the salary cap was $70 to $80 million, but does not work now with the cap in the 120s. The Pats' philosophy of a deep roster with lots of value players does not result in championships anymore. We need more impact players. Although they tend to be costly, we can still fill in with low draft picks and cheap free agents to make the cap. I don't want to run Bill out of town. I would take him over any other coach. I want him to recognize the need to change with the times. The current approach has resulted in a clear decline in talent and in going without a Super Bowl during the prime years of a future Hall of Fame quarterback.
So how long are we going here?
Last paragraph.
This is a great email. He's very astute.
You guys hinted,
Fred needs to hear it, though.
You guys hinted that they are limited by financial restraints. I don't know how much this played into the mistakes I described. If there are financial constraints, I hope that Mr. Kraft remembers that the Pats have traditionally been the number four team in New England of the four pro sports teams. If they continue this march to mediocrity, in quotes, they will lose fans and revenue. Hopefully he is smart enough businessman to realize that he needs to spend money to make money.
Not sure that's a good marketing
That's
campaign.
Phil from the Atlanta
march
area.
March to mediocrity. Now, did he mean march as in walking forward or the month of?
I think he meant the walking forward, Andy.
Well, you make a lot of those decisions are made in March.
Could be, yeah.
Now we know why Fred didn't read it, because it totally goes it's against
negative
his beliefs
Nancy.
And plan, you know, everything.
Right. Yeah.
But it's a very good observation.
Well,
great
the points about the Thanks, salary Phil. Cap in particular are what Andy, Eric, and I have been trying to sort of hammer home to Fred.
And while he's been looking for a list of teams that are in salary cap hell, and the hell.
But that's the way it was the first half of this decade, where the salary cap was a true impediment. It hasn't been that case in the last half of this decade, but I think that the Patriots still operate under very similar constraints.
So we get back to the same old question. Well, I think maybe we get back to the same old question. Is there a person lacking to say, Bill, tweak your philosophy. Your philosophy's not working right now.
I think he sort of hinted that he is.
I agree that he did.
He is.
But did it? Is it? Could it have come earlier had somebody said, Bill, what are you doing?
Well, I don't know, because look what they did in 07.
Yeah.
Under the way
see,
they
now,
did things
I think,
before. And
I
last,
think
year,
that
you,
was,
last year was a wash because Brady went down.
See, now I think there was something different about 07. Fred doesn't. Fred thinks
there
it was
certainly
just circumstantial.
Was something different about
Fred
07.
Thinks it was circumstantial.
Well, Fred's the only one who thinks that.
I think they specifically went out and said, we have opportunities here.
Clearly,
we're going to take advantage of them.
Clearly. And I think most of the world agrees with you. I think Fred's on an island there on that one.
Revis Island?
On Let's do Revis it. Island.
The game was lost.
Josh from Doesn't Say Where apparently is watching the Senior Bowl or was watching the Senior Bowl stuff because he says we should trade our number one next year for Eric Berry, the safety from Tennessee.
I also thought he was a legit prospect, and Bucky Brooks had him going like 15th or something.
Well, that's...
No.
You
Everywhere
mean
else
10?
I see Eric Berry, I see like top five, top
yeah,
eight.
McShay, I don't know if it's McShay or Kuiper, but they have every once in a while their top 10.
Right.
Scrolls across, or whatever you're watching, and I've seen Eric Berry. In
right,
every
this
one.
Guy Bucky Brooks, whoever the Bucky is.
Josh says, Bill will love this guy, Eric Berry. He's the next Ed Reed.
Unless he reads my safety bust story that I want to write for the combine.
And then he says, and did you see what Cody, it's Mount Cody from Alabama, the D lineman, to see what he weighed in at the Senior Bowl? That's one fat bastard.
He really is.
That's a quote.
I would have
Andre
a lot of
Smith fat?
I would have a lot of concerns about him.
It's a different kind of fat. That was a blubbery fat. I think Mount Cody is like massive fat.
I don't know for sure.
Like
this,
that guy that just was on the screen.
I don't know if he's that tall either.
Short and fat. No way to go through life, Paul.
Yeah, now he's a terrific
college. I'm telling you.
Sweatpants, not a good look.
I would wonder
fat,
about
drunk
him.
And stupid is no way to go through life, son.
I think he's a terrific.
Paul's out.
Terrific talent.
Who?
Cody. I'm drawing a blank on his first name. Is it?
Mike?
I forgot what his first name is.
I forget.
Did you see Papa John's
they call
large
Mount
pizzas
Cody.
Are $10? All pizzas?
I never had a Papa John's
pizza.
We should get.
Good?
Are there any more of those near here? We should get one of those for a lunch.
They're yummy. And they give you the little cup of butter garlic sauce to dip any crust in that you want to flavor up. You know how the crust sucks because there's nothing on it? You can dip the crust. Flavor it up. You
the
know,
crust.
Sure, it's healthy to dip it in butter.
I'm not a huge fan of pizza crust.
I like
no,
pizza
that's
crust.
That's the point. They're trying to entice people to eat the crust by giving them a cup of butter garlic. But yeah, they're very good pizza, and for $10, you can't beat it.
We got a Fred Kirsch addressed email here. This is Jack in London. I received a letter from one Fred Kirsch.
Ripper?
Uh-oh.
About renewing my subscription to the Patriots Football Weekly.
That's
paper.
Us. That's how Fred would write it.
Yeah. I subscribed to the online version last season and was impressed by everything there and would definitely consider renewing.
Consider?
My Think only so. Question is that, as I am from the UK, can it still be sent to my front door?
Yeah.
Well, you order the online version. So.
It can be sent to your front door.
It'll get there a month later.
If you wanted to. Well,
yeah, and
it'll,
it's
that.
Really expensive.
The online version for you, and I say this knowing that it's going to cost us money because the online version is obviously cheaper, so we don't
right.
make as much. But I think the online version is probably a better alternative for anybody outside of the United
States. And print it out at work.
Yeah.
Not at home.
He might want a collectible hard copy version. I don't know if that's what he's going for.
Expensive
but it's
because of the international shipping rates.
Yeah, it is.
Now, Eric could hand deliver it to your back door.
All right. See, there's a line, Andy, and you're crossing it on this show.
Yes, it was the international date line.
Greenwich Meantime.
He had to get to his back door.
Also, Jack says, I'm making a trip to Gillette Stadium in April and was wondering... You're going to love this.
Way to go, Jack.
And was wondering what would still be open out of the regular season. Well, Patriot Place.
Oh, yeah. Patriot Place is hopping.
Yeah.
Presented by Raytheon.
Thank you,
Dave. Eric and I went shopping up there the other day. I got some great socks. Bass and Company, great socks.
He did. He's been raving about
presented
them.
I'm
going back
by
to
Raytheon.
Buy more.
No, the socks were not presented by Raytheon.
No, they were presented by
G.H. Bass.
They have some other stores. I don't know. What else. I didn't buy any.
Good restaurants.
Great restaurants. If you're looking to eat, spend the day at Gillette.
Right.
By that time, is that interactive place going to be open?
I think so.
They have an interactive entertainment place. Well, if you have kids, they have Kid Town where you can drop
That'll
the kids
open.
Off to play, and then you can go have a beverage, an adult one.
Mm-hmm.
But great restaurants, good stores.
Go to the hall.
Go to the hall.
Go to the hall.
Patriot Place.
By Raytheon.
Can he you just wait loves till playing that.
He does.
The presented hall. Presented by Raytheon.
I would say they can't miss... Items at Patriot Place are the hall,
yeah.
The Patriots Pro Shop in the bottom
at
floor
the bottom
of the hall,
of it,
which
yeah.
you can get everything.
You can't get out of the hall, though, without going through there.
Right. And you can get all these stuff. Won't have to pay to have it shipped across the pond.
That's right.
And then the restaurants are tremendous. Mm-hmm. You can get a...
Davio's,
and then
you
dabble.
Cavalino.
You shop a little here and there. Go to EMS, get
right.
a jacket.
Get some
socks.
Shoes. Right.
Socks.
Okay, so there's that. Now,
Paul, would you like to add anything?
No.
Have you ever been to Patriot Place?
many times.
On to Football Matters. I can't complain
five
with the Super Bowl
burgers.
Matchup.
Oh,
Red
yeah,
Robin.
Five guys.
Five guys, that's right. Yeah.
Red Robin. You can stay at the hotel and go to Restaurant 28.
Louis.
If you get hurt, we got the medical establishment right
yeah,
there.
We're
I was just over at CBS
shopping.
Scene last week.
Yeah, they were tremendous. Boneless buffalo bites.
Love those.
Give them a little flip over because the puddle of sauce in the bottom is really where it's at. Buttery, creamy buffalo sauce. Tremendous.
As Belle Biv DeVoe said, Paul, smack it up, flip it, rub it down.
Oh, no!
There you go.
Well done, Andy. Anyway, on to football
Paul's
matters.
Taking the show off.
Yeah,
he
really is.
He checked out
he's,
a half hour ago.
That's what happens.
He
when
got
you
like
turn
that
50.
Droopy face on.
Just he's got the Manning face.
Yeah, he does.
I have a topic that I can throw.
31-14. We are cruising to victory, baby.
We got one
fourth
last
quarter, 17 point lead. It's over.
One last thing from Jack in London, Paul. Before you
See,
do that,
so don't complain about me not contributing.
Jack says he can't complain about the Super Bowl matchup. He'll be rooting for the Saints because they're the underdog, and Drew Brees on a good day is better than Peyton Manning. I don't know about that.
On his worst day?
Maybe. On his worst day. But
I'm not saying Drew Brees isn't capable of playing better than Manning
on a
specific
given day.
Game.
Yeah.
But he's
overall,
not,
he's not
better. Not,
if it's a head-to-head matchup, if the game is literally won or lost by the quarterbacks, Manning wins.
Yeah.
The Saints can win, but he'll need Reggie Bush to make some plays. He'll need Darren Sharper maybe to come up with a nice pick.
I also wasn't overly impressed with Drew Brees down the stretch of that game Sunday. I thought he looked nervous. I thought he looked visibly nervous.
He may have been.
And he may have been injured, as Troy Aikman brought up.
But he also may have just been
He looked up tight.
He hasn't spent as many time in those games as Peyton Manning has.
Right.
Peyton Manning wasn't always cool, calm, and collected.
And he looked nervous in
Can
those
somebody
games.
Somebody give me a Gatorade? Yeah. Oh, crap. What's going on? Did somebody turn the
he
heat on in
He looked nervous
here?
In those
that
games earlier in his career. Absolutely.
So Drew Brees, you know, getting his feet wet.
According to the aforementioned Josh and Doesn't Say Where, Mount Cody is 6'4", 370.
So
numbers.
He's a little taller than I thought,
6'4". Yeah. That's Ted Washington territory,
isn't
it? But
370, I mean...
Isn't that about
what That's
he
what
was?
He's listed as? I mean, I know that Vince Wilfork probably weighs more than 325.
Yeah. No. Are you kidding me?
How many? What do you think Cody really weighs?
Well, I don't know. Was this like, could you like see Unless, the scale maybe?
Yeah,
was
this a specific Senior Bowl weigh-in that
I think it might have
been. To be taken, you know, at face value?
Uh-oh, the Colts are moving.
you said you had a topic, Paul, you wanted to throw out there?
No. Go.
You did, right before. You said, I have a topic.
I resigned.
Well, I wanted to know... Not necessarily from you because you're biased, but no, it's about Brett Favre, and he's not really to be taken seriously on this because his hatred just shines through.
That's true.
But did you catch, and I talked to you about this, Andy, a little bit off the air, just the overall reaction, and you asked, why do people hate Brett Favre so much? And I came back to you, not necessarily because of anything he does, but the reaction post-game.
See, but that's my
to him. For the media, I
that's
think, drives
him.
People crazy.
But
no,
that's not him.
It's not his fault. But it drives people crazy.
It's similar to
I
Tim
think.
Tebow.
See, now
they
I
don't
personally,
hate Tim Tebow. They hate Tim Brando saying, any person who spends 5 minutes with him is better off.
I don't know a lot of people who hate Tim Tebow.
Though. I do.
I think people have gone this backlash against Brett Favre that may have been fueled by the media. And specifically, watching the ESPN postgame with that primetime. I saw it live. I was telling you about it on Monday. Tom Jackson and Chris Berman were an abomination. And Jackson, who I really, really like and respect, is telling you how he takes the word courage out of this game for Brett Favre. And what a wonderful way, you know, and he goes, and people are going to fixate on the pick at the end of the game. Well, what should they fixate on?
I know.
He cost his team a chance, not the game. He cost his team a chance to win the game. So
Brett
why shouldn't
Favre
we fixate on that?
That's the kind of play that if a rookie makes it, everybody screams
mistake.
At the rookie
and,
because
and,
it's
and
a rookie
says,
mistake.
And he says, and I'm quoting pretty close to word for word here, Brett Favre has never been afraid to throw a pick, and it's one thing I've always admired about him.
But not okay? in the NFC
now,
Championship game.
Listen, I understand what the point is, and I would tend to agree with the overall point. Interceptions as a rule, as a whole, don't necessarily bother me the way they bother a lot of people. Peyton Manning threw a lot of interceptions this year, but he made a lot more plays doing so. But you need to eliminate the back-breaking interception at the time where right. you absolutely can't throw one, and Brett Favre has not done that. Throughout his career, he has thrown the crippling interception more often than not.
Yep.
But yet you can't find a lot of people in the media who'll say that, and I just thought the post-game coverage of him,
it's not his fault.
I don't want it, but part of it is, Andy, because he fosters
he
it with the
it.
Limping around.
He sure does.
And he says after the game, I really feel for my daughter. You know, my daughter's got a broken heart because she's the one who really convinced me to come back and play.
Oh,
that's
God's
a bunch
sake.
Of crap. His daughter convinced
him
to play. I think she's young, isn't she?
That doesn't mean
there was a woman standing next to his wife. There was a girl standing next to his wife that was
looked kind of like his wife.
Yeah, I didn't realize his daughter was. Is his daughter that old?
She looked, 19, 20, 21.
Yeah, I saw the girl. I just assumed it was the sister, the wife's sister. But maybe it's his daughter. I didn't know that.
Could be. He's old enough.
The doctor's on it.
Oh yeah, no, he's 40. So I mean, he could have like a 20-year-old daughter. Yeah. That's possible. Mm-hmm. I just thought that was she. I mean, I guess it doesn't make she could look just like her mother too. But she looked so much like. Brett's wife that I thought it was his her sister. But maybe you're right. But I just don't buy that. I think he fosters that stuff. You know, going through all his injuries. Did you didn't watch any of the post game either. He said, you know, this is going to be black and blue tomorrow. My ankle's going to be black and blue. I thought I broke it. Like, I heard people talking about it yesterday. I was stunned that he came back in the game. Really?
Oh, yeah. Come on.
I thought he was faking.
You really thought there was any chance that he wasn't coming back in that game?
How often has that happened? Except for the only one I can think of off the top of my head is the Patriots game in 06?
Yeah, and why didn't he come back in that game?
Because they were getting killed. Right.
There was no chance whatsoever to me.
Medication wasn't available on the sideline?
Yeah. And listen, this is not – I don't necessarily have the hatred of Brett Favre. I have the hatred of the coverage of Brett Favre. I think it's so grossly unbalanced.
And it begins now in this offseason. It's already begun.
But I'm talking about the player. Evaluate the game on Sunday. He did play a great game on Sunday. He had a great first quarter on Sunday. And periodically, he made some great throws. Like the one to Sidney Rice on the last drive was a picture-perfect throw. But overall, he threw the ball 46 times for 310 yards. That's not great. He threw two picks. Should have had about four. I don't think he played a great game on Sunday. And this courage stuff, what quarterback? How many quarterbacks do you think of a certain stature don't show courage? Is Brady and Manning not courageous?
Phillip Rivers in the 07 AFC Championship game.
Was Drew Brees not courageous in that game?
When his running back was sitting on the sidelines after two carries.
And for Tom Jackson's theory, people are going to fixate on the pick at the end.
No kidding.
Well, why shouldn't we fixate on
no
that?
No kidding.
You know, my guy, Drew Bledsoe, who I think is kind of Brett Favre light. I think he's very similar to Brett Favre. He could make all these wonderful plays and all these wonderful throws. He's not as good as Brett Favre was at his best because he could never move around and make those kinds of plays.
Right.
But he always made the killer mistake. Just like
he
Brett
did.
Favre.
And you're always worried about
just
that.
Just like Brett Favre.
When Drew had the game on the line, your thought was always, you know, is he going to make that mistake
people
now?
People telling me about all
now?
Of these things, you know, and Berman went into a thing about his interview that he did when he was still in Green Bay about all the – he goes, you know, you threw the most interceptions too. And he said – and Brett said, well, you know, that just meant I was trying. Okay. I mean, like I said, I'm not a guy who's necessarily thrown off by a lot of interceptions. But then Tom Jackson comes back with that line, you know, he's never been afraid to throw a pick, and I've always admired that about him. Really? That's the best you can come up with?
Why don't they say that about Jake Delhomme? He's not afraid to throw the pick. He tries to make plays.
I don't know.
He's a gunslinger. Why don't we love him?
I don't know what the answer is to that. Because it's been 10 years since Brett Favre has been the guy that people call him now. It's been 10 years.
This is a Felger-like rant to end the show by Paul Perrault.
Well, it is very, very similar to what Felger says.
An appropriate
Felger takes
one,
it,
though.
Felger takes it to
an
a
appropriate
new level.
One.
You know,
of course, you believe it is.
That's why I said you have to stay out of this because you're not.
She's 21.
Is that Braley?
Brittany.
Okay, well, Braley's the one he was talking about after the game.
Yeah.
Oh. That said that she has a broken heart right now.
The girl in the crowd looked hotter than this girl.
She's the one who convinced me to come back and I don't buy that at all. I think that and that would be the Felger rant. Felger's, you know, what do kids want from you, young kids, you know, 10, 12, and younger? They want you. They want your time. They don't care what happens.
Thought I was being set up like a pedophile.
No, but
what do you mean by that?
Like, do you think
am I on NBC right now?
Andy, it's hard for us because our kids are too young to even understand. But do you think if you were a pro athlete and Jackson was like 9? Do you think he would sit there and say he would rather have you be away all the time playing or he'd be able to see you every day? What do you think he would pick?
See every day.
So don't tell me this crap about she convinced me to come back. You came back
because
she wanted
better.
To come back. Because it's all you about you and it's always been all about you.
Are you yelling at me?
No. This is why I think there's the backlash against Favre. I think he's a fraud.
Maybe the other daughter's 11.
Oh, her then.
That's her, Braley.
Maybe it was her sister that was sitting next to her.
What?
Maybe it was the wife's sister.
I've always found the wife a little bit hot, too.
Well, this girl is how old?
21.
This might have been the girl that was sitting next to her.
She looked different, though.
Yeah, it looked a lot different.
Well, the hair was down.
Darker.
Hair's all up.
Yeah.
Her hair was dark like the mother's. Yeah. They both had, like, dark hair.
Yeah.
That didn't look as dark in that picture.
Oh,
I missed.
2 hours have gone by, fellas.
Well, Paul just had to rant about Favre for an hour and a half. By the way, 31-21, 8 minutes to go. I'm feeling good about the Patriots'
chances.
Think
she got a chance.
Think she's starting to tighten up a little bit.
As that Rams guy said on the sidelines in Super Bowl 36, I like our chances.
All they have,
I like
all
our chances.
All they have to do right now is just take care of the ball and punt it away. They'll be fine.
All right. Well, that'll do
Bill,
it.
Bill, that was funny. Come on.
That'll do it for the Tuesday show. But we'll be back on Thursday. Maybe Fred will be here. Maybe
Hopefully.
He won't. He's busier in the offseason, he told us, than in the regular season the other day. I don't know if I buy that, but
I'll be
on vacation. I might have been before. All right, we'll see you at noon Thursday.